If there are no further objections, I will count us in. In 3 seconds, I will begin counting us in. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to WTF at TFW, where we are podcasting on the internet in an internet-based podcast. My name is Vangelis, and I am your host today. With me today, as well, is Gog Dog.
Hi, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. We're recording on Friday today entirely because of selfish me reasons. Me, 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 me. Also here today is Seth.
Hello.
Hello.
It works out that we didn't record on Thursday because it was St. Patrick's Day, and I had to get my corned beef and cabbage.
I forgot it was St. Patrick's Day until I was at a show where they made St. Patrick's Day jokes. And everything got a little bit racist. I won't lie.
Well, you don't have any Irish bloods, so you're just, you know, you're more Oktoberfest.
I'm a
Gung Hei Fat Choyan.
That's right.
Is that a subgenre of the gang? You have the Bloods, and then the subgenre is Irish Bloods.
I hate the Irish Bloods. They do everything wrong. They cracked.
You, man.
They cracked a few jokes about Chinese New Year. They said if we all go out and get drunk and wear green on St. Patrick's Day, does that mean that on Chinese New Year we all go out and solve some math problems and then drive badly? I chuckled.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard that if everybody in China jumped in the air at the same time, the shock of their landing would knock everybody on the other side of the planet off into orbit.
That's what we call the human atom bomb.
I heard that once, I think when I was in grade school.
I want to try that someday. But I also want to try talking about some Transformers today. And we got some Transformers Collectors Club news. Real quick, we got to see the packaging for G2 Ramjet and Animated Cheetor, as well as I think the actual figure, I don't know if this is a Photoshop or not, of the G2 Ramjet figure. So I was curious if either of you had any reactions to this packaging or Purple Jet kind of action. Gog?
Purple Jet is cool. I'll be purchasing Purple Jet. I like how the packaging matches up with their set from last year, the whole G2 theme.
Yeah.
So, it's cool that their figures they're at least trying to tie them in with the previous stuff. But the box art looks cool I guess it's not really that important. I mean, well, I guess for some people it is. I mean, I don't really care that much how the box looks. It's certainly neat, but this is with the Cheetor too, they have it designed like animated packaging. So,
yeah.
I'm getting a kick out of it. It's cool.
It's that last little extra touch that they kind of throw on, I think.
Yeah, it certainly feels like collector packaging, and I think it looks better than some of their previous stuff, like the Astro Train from a few years ago.
Yeah,
and the Nightbeat, like this stuff looks cooler than that. So, in my opinion, I think that they've kind of upped it a little bit, but at the same time, they have pre-existing themes to go off of with the animated and the G2. So. But it's still cool. And the boxes are high quality, so they look good on a shelf if you want to leave it in.
Yeah, they're thick. They can take a beating, I've found. Not too much of a beating though. When you get one with a crushed corner, that's kind of a bummer. Seth, how do you feel about the recent club toy picks?
Yeah, boxes look good. I mean, I don't really know if I have much to add to that except for just disappointed there's no opportunity to be outraged at G2 Ramjet being released because it's devaluing some other set.
Yeah, I mean, everything's out now.
Yeah, that's a bummer. So now we just have to wait for them to do G2 colored Starscream?
Oh, no, they have to do a new Seeker mold so we can start the cycle over again. Like for Generations 3.0 or something.
I think it is time to update that Seeker mold, though.
Yeah!
I was talking to somebody about it recently. They look really primitive compared to newer generations. And they're so small. It's it's kind of like, I think it's time.
Yeah, I mean,
to think about that.
I think a lot of people are sort of. I think, and I don't mean to imply this about you, dear listener, but I think there are some people who are sort of jumping on a bit of a bandwagon of like, yeah, well, that seeker mold never looked cool in the first place. And I would disagree with that because I think in 06, a lot of us were jazzed for it, but that was also 5 years ago. So it has, like, guess what? It's aged. It's really aged.
Yeah, I'd like to see what they can do now. Especially after seeing what they are doing now.
Yeah, like, I mean, I look at the I was just looking at Thundercracker, and my first instinct when I was looking at the underside, I was just like, I bet you right now, if this toy was made for this year's release, all the stuff under the chest would have collapsed together more. Just as an example.
Yeah, maybe there'd be some clearance for their arm cannons and the wings.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a hope, I think, for an upcoming post-movie line. And, I mean, I would not be surprised if it happened. Jets are pretty cool, so always reason to make jets. But the bigger news we got from the club is that they just put up the BotCon 2011 brochure with cryptic messages about maybe online registration going up in a few days. I was kind of hoping it would go up at the end of the month, but I'll try to deal with it. There's a picture of me in the brochure from 2 years ago, looking really, really awkward. I'm all bent and twisted and leaning down to use a microphone. And there's also a little bit of storyline for the new set in there. Some Cybertronian police officers talking about what happened right after season 3 of Animated ended. And there's also all the usual info, like, you know, guess what? There's going to be tours. If you like tours, it's in Pasadena. There's a Universal Studio in Pasadena where they make movies sometimes, or at least talk about making movies. And there's going to be a customizing class, like last time. There's going to be panels at this BotCon. But I don't think any guest info was released in that brochure. It's very much just kind of like confirmation of activities and whatnot. But you know, it is also kind of like the final step before registration opens, so get ready for that insane day whenever it happens.
Can I read a passage from the brochure?
Indeed.
Let me read this couple of sentences. Convention dress. For the Hall of Fame celebration dinner, dress is business casual. Shirts with collars. No t-shirts.
I don't know what that means.
Other convention dress should be in accordance with family values. Children will be in attendance. Please, no vulgar or revealing attire should be worn. Tony.
I don't know what... Does that mean I can wear a tank top? Because that's not a t-shirt. That doesn't have... T-shirts have sleeves. A tank top's more like an eye shirt.
Well, if you have a tattoo of a naked woman on your shoulder, then probably no tank top.
Well, what if it's not an entire woman? What if it's just the reproductive organs?
Also, probably no tank top.
I thought this was America!
Well, strangely, though, halter top is okay.
Really?
For men only.
Oh.
Regardless of tattoo.
Okay, good. I'll work on it.
But all women should be dressed in burkas. unless they're ugly, then nobody cares.
What if it's a burka with a hard hat?
Okay. I don't know what the hard hat represents.
It represents...
Oh, because they're cosplaying?
Yes.
They're cosplaying as Burka Spike?
Yes.
Okay. That's okay.
Seth, do you have any other reactions to the brochure at all?
There's a picture of you on it.
I know.
So people should print out their brochures and have you autograph them.
I will gladly autograph those brochures for a mere $5, and part of the proceeds will go towards charity.
The picture looks like they caught you in the midst of doing the axle shuffle.
I look so horrible in that picture. It's amazing. Like, every time I see that picture, I see something new about it that's awful. Like, I just noticed, like, you can see my torso twisting underneath my shirt, and my shirt is just catching that outline of gut as well. So I look like some kind of misshapen sloth monster.
Oh, just before recording, I was talking to our friend Empire.
Oh, yeah.
on the Skyper box. And he pointed out that there is no party at Paramount, which I think a lot of people assumed was going to happen.
That's true, because he mentioned a Hall of Fame dinner, and that is a different beast. So that, I mean, that would be kind of a bummer if they didn't do it, but I'm not going to get mad if they don't do it, because I'm sure that was an expenditure to get all those
people knowing that Hasbro's kind of taken over that night, it kind of put doubt in my mind that it was going to happen, mm-hmm. unless they were going to do it from a stage and make everybody stand.
Yeah.
And then eat those weird hamburgers. Yeah. And they seem to be trying to go for a little classier vibe.
Yeah.
But the assumption, I think, still is valid that there's going to be some Dark of the Moon related video activity. Mm. And if my memory serves, there was a multi-screen theater in that mall kind of thing across the street.
Oh.
So it's not like there aren't movie screens far away.
That's good to keep in mind. I mean, I'll be surprised if they don't do anything related to Dark of the Moon, because it's in that same time of, like, that same part of the time frame for something to happen.
Yeah. And at Paramount, there was just that one theater, which was huge and could hold a lot of people, but they still did us in two shifts.
Yeah.
But with the multi-screen theater, then they could do it like 07 when they showed us the whole movie.
And if you want to get...
They had multiple screens and multiple shifts.
And if you want to get really optimistic, you know, maybe they'll have the whole movie ready by then. I don't think they will, but who knows? Maybe they'll have a screener version.
Maybe. Maybe they won't.
Something to look forward to either way. GOG... Do you have business casual?
Yeah, and I won't be one of the guys stomping their feet saying, "Well, that guy didn't have to wear a collared shirt, so I wasted my time having to do that. I wasted my only collared shirt coming to this party." So it is interesting though, hearing that because the last two or three BotCons they haven't actually put that in the brochure. So
yeah.
People are like, "Well, it doesn't actually say though. It."
It had always been written somewhere. Maybe in...
I'll have to go look, because there was a couple times where I went looking for it and I couldn't find it.
I'm really sure there was one show where it was implied and not stated, but I think it was in... I want to say it was in the... What do you call it? The booklet they give you. The program last year.
Yeah, but the problem with that is people can claim that, well, I didn't get the program until I was already here and I didn't bring any.
Because
you don't get that until you... arrive.
I just want to reiterate again, why would someone not want to go to an event like that looking nice? I just don't get it.
Well, I'm going to wear my mesh shirt and metallic hot pants.
I'm going to try
to stop me.
I'm going to dress up like Jeff Hardy. I'm going to paint my face with spider webs and then I'm going to get really stoned before I get there. It should all be pretty good. Really, guys, if you're going, look nice. How often do you get to look nice? Maybe all the time, in which case I envy you, but look nice.
Yeah, and like everybody knows every other day of the year you're totally metal. It's okay to not be totally metal for a couple hours.
Yeah, because you know you could totally just look metal and then not look metal for the Hall of Fame thing, and then once it's over, just go like, I'll be right back, and just head to the washroom like Superman, jump in a stall, and then pop out like looking like the god of chains and razor blades.
And the way to prove you're the most metal is to wear a polo shirt and still feel metal inside.
Yeah, have the metal in your face. Like, not literally. I mean, well, okay, maybe literally. Depends what you do. But look nice.
You can't buy metal at Hot Topic. It comes from your soul.
Real metal. Capital M metal is what we mean. I'm sure Hot Topic sells stainless steel jewelry. Unless I've misjudged them. But BotCon, it's almost time. Maybe the thing will go up on Monday and it'll all be crazy. We'll see. All that collector club stuff aside.
It's crazy. Everything's crazy.
Crazy.
The brochure is crazy.
It's amazing. He's bad. He's real bad.
It's bad. He's the good. Butcher is bad. Everything's bad.
Optimus Prime's good. That other guy, what are the villains? They're bad. Real bad. Let's talk about some new pick picks. Some things have popped up of late that would note some conversation. So, Gog, do you have a picture you'd like to pick out?
We got some box art for Beast Wars Season 1 from Shout Factory.
Yes.
We also got some information on that, too. Let me just verify, because I don't want to get it wrong. Right now, on Amazon, you can pre-order Season 1, all of Season 1, for $19.99. And it's also eligible for free shipping. So if you toss something else in there for $5, got the entire first season of Beast Wars for $20. And I know the last time we were on together, we were kind of like, well, how much is this going to cost?
Yeah, because I remember the first season of Beast Wars is also the longest one.
That's exactly.
That's the 26-episode one.
Right. Yeah, and the rest are half seasons. That is correct, right?
Yeah.
Season 2 and 3 are both 13, right?
Yep.
Yeah. No doubt. I'm picking this up. So, and it really kind of hoping that maybe our fears for some of the Japanese stuff is much lower as well. I'm kind of surprised because you see so many other companies put out stuff that's seemingly more popular for a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that's why they're doing it. Maybe they're charging more because they think people will buy it. And even if they don't, if they have to discount it after the fact, they'll still make a profit on it. I don't know. I don't know how this stuff works. But
I'm wondering if maybe they're kind of doing a hedge bet kind of thing where they're like, let's do season one at $20 and then we'll do season two at $20 and season three at $20 and see if people just go for that.
Yeah. And that's not, I don't think that's unfair.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, I mean, $20 for 13 episodes, I think, is perfectly fine. I think $20 for 26 episodes is an insanely good value.
Yeah, I mean, and even this is, and the other thing of worth noting too is this is not the first time this show has been released on DVD.
No, Rhino had them out, and the Rhino ones were pricey.
Yeah, so they're selling a set. I mean, granted, that was a very long time ago that those were released, but even so, it's still I'm impressed, and I hope that this trend continues from Shout. And
yeah.
I don't remember off the top of my head how much the G1 stuff was, but
it was. I think it was more in line with expected DVD prices. But now that they've been out for a while, I'm not really sure if the prices I'm seeing are sale prices or. And I mean, I bought the Matrix set, so I haven't really looked at them that much when I saw them in the stores. My main thing is like I think Shout should sell season 2 and 3 for maybe around $20 each. But if they actually go like no, season 2 is $10 or even $15, I'm gonna be like, all right, you guys are officially the most bro DVD company on earth. Like especially if they do their some of their remastering stuff. Like I'm not sure how much there is to do on Beast Wars, but even if they just find the highest quality masters that they can get their hands on and do some cleanup or something, it'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, they don't even have any of the Shout G1 stuff on Amazon right now, which is really strange.
I thought, yeah, it's still on the market. Like, the non-Matrix stuff is still on the market.
It's not sure. The only I searched Transformers in... continue amongst yourselves. I'm going to research this while you talk.
Alrighty. Seth, how about you? Have you got a picture you'd like to share?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. Perfect Effect Soundforce X color images.
Heyo.
Now in color. So I'm excited for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I pre-ordered them a while ago. And I'm dedicated to it. I'm married to it. We're going to make it happen.
Hell yeah.
I'm surprised how much white is involved in them. I don't dislike that there is so much white. I was just surprised to see that much white.
They look brighter than I expected.
Yeah, I wonder if I wonder if the color of the backdrop they're using and perhaps the lighting
that they're shooting in isn't tinting it in some way, because it's kind of a creamy, eggshelly kind of a white in some of the pictures, and a little more of a bone in some of the others, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
But I kind of like how they have their own color stripes on their forearms.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of gives them a little more personality, a little more individualism. And I really like all the detail that's painted on the camera lens. That's pretty cool.
Just having a look at it now. I got sidetracked because I hadn't seen this till now, but the picture where they're all armed up, the guy with the lens in his chest, they actually have it so that the lens is a huge cannon that plugs into the chain gun cannon, sits on the shield, and then plugs into his chest as like a giant chest cannon. Like, look at the picture where they're all having their weapons on, the guy in the middle. That whole thing is hooked into his stomach. That's awesome.
Just attack Nova Cannon! Or something.
Yeah, these guys look really cool.
Yeah, I haven't got a pre-order in on them yet, but I'm starting to think maybe I should. Because I was, with a lot of this third-party stuff coming out, I was thinking, like, maybe I'll just wait for BotCon. And I'm on the fence of whether I want to wait for BotCon on these guys. I might just
don't risk it.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, don't risk it. But one thing I never noticed in any of the previous non-colored photos is in the camera mode, you see the top of dude's head sticking up back there.
Yep. Top of the dude's head. That's just like the G1 toy where the dude's head is the button you push.
Oh, okay. Okay, now never mind.
It's in the it's in the same spot
top
too.
Top of the head's fine. At first, I thought it was just like, oh, they didn't hide the top of his head. But now that you put it that way.
It's G1 accurate.
Never mind.
G1
never
accurate.
Mind then. Never mind. Never mind.
I am really into these dudes. And I'm also really into the TFC larger reflector that they're doing. This is most definitely a good year for reflector, as I think we've said before. This is backtracking a bit, but GOG, I just hit up Amazon.ca to look up the DVD prices, and all the G1 volumes are more expensive than the Beast Wars volume.
Well, that's funny, because I just did the same thing and found them. I must have been typing it wrong the first time, but they're all, on American Amazon, they're all priced the same. You can find every volume for $19.99 the same price.
Oh, in Canada, they're all $35 marked down to somewhere between $25 and $30. Damn it, Canada.
So.
Canada!
But man, SoundForce X. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping they turn out well. Because I like them more than the Night and the Sun set with Ejector and Rewinder. But I also really feel bad that I missed all four of those. So there's going to be some Perfect Effect purchasing come convention season, I think, for me. Unless I catch anything online.
Yeah. Robot Kingdom right now has them for pre-order for $66.99 US.
I just said a big long F. I'm gonna think about it. I think I might do it.
Yeah. Let me see what the BBTS was.
At least we know we can make our decision before this goes live.
The nice thing about Perfect Effect is I found like their stuff will go out of circulation, but it's often not impossible to find for close to its original price.
How much did you say it was?
Robot Kingdom is $67.
Okay, BBTS is a lot more. It's $90.
Robot Kingdom's shipping is usually pretty fair. I got my Rosanna Ninja from them, and the shipping wasn't too bad. So I may have to put an order for these guys tonight.
I think I might do the same. 60, that's not bad. That's 22 per. That's on par with a lot of their other releases on repaints. It's usually the first release of a mold tends to be a little bit pricier, I find, with them.
Yeah, this is not something I would normally spend money on for. I mean that's a lot for basically three mini cons with some cool accessories. But if you want to look at it from that angle,
mm-hmm.
But
yeah, but there ain't no mini cons that have that level.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I'm saying from the generic point of view.
To generalize,
you're getting three toys that are mini con sized. But at the same time, these are the three coolest mini con sized toys that I've ever seen.
Yeah. As I've said many times, this size is where Perfect Effect's current design team seems to be really comfortable, and they're good at it. So I'm into that. But if you're not into that, there's always more reflector stuff on the horizon, it seems. My own new pick's going to be a little bit cheesy. It's going to be a little bit of a chain of info I want to share. First up would be Fans Project's Blesser. Which is a little thing they're doing to encourage people to donate to the Red Cross for the sake of helping Japan out due to that earthquake, what happened a little while ago. And the idea is that, and I actually really liked how they implemented this, is that you have to donate to Red Cross of your own volition and then send Fans Project a copy of the email saying that you donated to them, and then they send you a blesser themselves. You have to donate at least $15 to a Red Cross fund. And I like that because that gets around the kind of, and I hate to say this, but it's true. You know, whenever someone's going to be like, I'm selling something and the proceeds go to this thing, it's always going to make a lot of us kind of go like, you know, like you're like the feeling of I'm buying it from you and hoping you're going to pass the money along. Whereas this is like, no, you put the money somewhere, then show us that you did it, and then we'll send you a thing. And I think that's a very smart way to go about it myself. This also goes into, there's a couple other little causes out there. I mean, like the site sponsor HLJ is doing their little 2% thing where they added 2% to all prices, and then all those 2% are going to go to charity and be matched by HLJ to go to charity. And I mean, of course, there's just donating to Red Cross, but because that's not always something that occurs to people. There's a little cause I want to briefly plug. A couple friends of mine started it up. It's called Superhero Time. This is based more on the tokusatsu fandom, but they kind of started up this fund, mostly, I think, for awareness, because it's like, okay, a bunch of tokusatsu sites are going to start it up, so people who are into that stuff will know about it and go like, oh, I know those guys, so I can donate to them, and they probably won't steal it, but if they do, we all know where they live, so we can go kick their asses later. And I thought that fundraiser was going to maybe hit maybe like $680 because tokusatsu fandom is not huge. And I was like, ah, it's cool. You know, they'll raise enough to help out one or two people. And currently they have over $6,000 raised since about a week ago. So that's, kind of impressive to me. So I want to just get some word out on them. If you want another place to donate to that is trustworthy, they are superherotime.chipin.com. And that's my little attempt at altruism there. Thank you all for swallowing that dose of sugary syrup. Do either of you have any thoughts on Blesser or any other causes you've seen going on in relation to Red Cross?
Well, for Blesser, they were limited to how many they're doing, right? It's like
1,500 pieces. Yeah.
And so there's a good chance by the time this episode gets out, that's going to be done.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody tweeted that they were up to 600 already, and that was several hours before this recording. If it's not sold out by the time we're done with this, or maybe I'll even like look into it while we're still recording, but I kind of wanted to do that, but I couldn't do it from work, and then I didn't think about it after I got home before we started recording.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're not wiped out. But, you know, it's a way to get a cool thing and do an even cooler thing for other people. So.
Yeah, I mean, worst case, I'm sure there's going to be people who donate and then send the email and get told, oh, we already ran out. And then the worst thing that happens out of that is you donated $15 to charity anyway. So that's why I think it's a real good kind of win-win situation.
Yep.
I very much appreciate how they put that together. Gog, how about you? Do you got any feelings on Blesser or any other causes you may have seen kicking around?
Not specifically, but I do think it's really amazing how everybody is really trying to pitch in. I do want to say, just make sure when you give your money that you're giving it to someone that you know to be legitimate.
Yes.
give it to either someone, you know, like obviously the ones that Chris just mentioned. But also, like, I'd be really hesitant to be like, well, I'm going to donate a portion of an auction to this. And the person who's doing the auction doesn't even state how much of that is going to charity. It's just don't get swept up in the, oh, it's for charity. It must be good. Just if you want to give, then give. There are very legitimate organizations out there that will accept your money, and you know it's going to the right place. Just don't let someone take advantage of you.
And there's an attitude about this that I always see, and it's the attitude of, you know, oh, how dare you come down on this because it's for charity. And I think that people, if you take yourself out of any kind of biases you may have, just think about it like this. You know, at the end of the day, all of us really just have to donate to a charity like Red Cross, and boom, you're done. The reason why I'm plugging things like Superhero Time is because a lot of people just go like, oh, I guess I could donate to Red Cross, but I'll do it some other time, or it might not even occur to them. The more you bring it closer to somebody's doorstep, the more likely they are to do it, especially if it's people that are citable as trustworthy. Superhero Time is probably the farthest I'd go myself from just outright saying donate to Red Cross, only because I know a lot of the people involved in it, and I know how they're planning to go about doing things. They're going to basically take the proceeds, make it into a physical check, and then one of the dudes involved lives in Southwest Japan, so he's just going to take the check to a physical Red Cross outlet in Japan. So I trust them to do that, given how long I've known them. But I've also told people, like, if you don't trust it, then that's cool, because there are a lot of scams out there. A lot of people want to take advantage of human kindness, especially when it's reactionary human kindness. And I mean, all you got to do is do a Google search for Donate Japan fundraiser, and you'll find a cavalcade of listings, which are all a coin toss on whether or not they're even real. So like Gog said, you know, be aware of where you're donating. If you're not sure about someone's intentions, contact that person. Contact people that you know that person to double check things. Be generous, but also don't be swept up, as Gog said, because there are, and it sucks to say it, but there are people out there who want to take advantage of your kindness. And
well, and there's also some groups that are going to possibly kind of, like, that money will end up being used for something regarding Japan, but it might be more for their own personal agenda.
Yeah, because I mean,
and I don't want to get too specific for fear of offending any particular group or individual, but
yeah,
like there might be a group that says, okay, well, we're going to go help Japan by giving them this thing that really kind of helps us or really kind of pushes forward our political or social motivation, sort of a thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there have been tweets about that I've.
Yeah, and
I've
if you're okay with that, then you're okay with that. But if you're not, be careful.
It's all about just being entirely aware of what your money's doing. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I'm putting a lot of faith in Red Cross to use the money correctly, because as far as I know, Red Cross is kind of trustworthy, and they don't mire too much of their funding in administrative costs and whatnot, which is, if we're going to bring up a small bias, that's my own personal bias about some charity organizations, is I don't really like it when I'm donating money, and then large amounts of my money get split across an administrative process where I'm kind of like, I mean, I understand why they do it, but personally, I'd like to skip around that with what I donate myself. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, be generous if you want, and don't feel bad if you don't donate. Not everyone is in a position to donate money. And that's the other thing, you know, don't make people feel bad if they don't donate. If you want to know one big thing you don't do, you don't walk up to someone and say, so how much did you donate? Because that's a real big, I mean, you might not think it is, but that is actually a pretty big breach of privacy, because there are a lot of people who, you know, take donation amounts almost like some kind of measure of kindness. And that's not what it is. In the same breath, I personally don't believe it's good form to tell people how much you've donated to a cause. Because again, it's whether or not you intend to, it kind of puts your own action on a pedestal, and that's
you don't have to wear it on your sleeve.
Yeah, it's not what this is about. This is just about It's about a show of kindness and about helping a cause. Even if you only donate $5 to something, that's still worth doing, and it's still worth being proud of. And you don't have to tell people you only put in $5. And if someone gets on your case because you mention it, then they certainly, I think, are in the wrong for doing so. But
yeah, speaking of getting on people's case, so earlier today on Twitter, Kevin Smith auctioned off a Red State movie poster where however much it went for, that's what he was donating. Like, it was like, buy this and I'll donate the money for Japan. And he sold posters like this like a few times now. And a bunch of people started hassling him that he was raising money for another country when there's problems here in the United States that need money too. And it's like, okay, well, as true as that may be, like, things are really bad in Japan, and they're supposed to be our pals, and you help out your pals when they're in trouble. And it's just, God, it just seems so douchey that people are hammering Kevin Smith with messages like, charity begins at home.
I've seen that, like, yeah.
Oh, God.
I've seen that sentiment, like, okay, posted elsewhere, and I mean, like, that's the other thing, is, like, there's not a proper way to be generous, really, and if some people want to be generous to Japan, that's what they do. If you want to be generous in your own country, it's what you do. Personally, I feel like, I mean, and I don't mean this is a bad thing, but I think a lot of people are being generous to Japan because of the circumstances of the earthquake, and also because a lot of us kind of dig Japan and what they do. I'm sure there are more people donating towards Japan than there were donating towards the Christchurch, New Zealand earthquake. And, you know, I'm not going to get mad at people going like, well, where were you at Christchurch? You know, generosity is generosity is generosity, basically. And
yeah, and like, you know, it's not like an earthquake contest of who had it worse.
Yeah.
Like Haiti or Christchurch or Japan, but it's also that tsunami, the complete and utter devastation from that damn thing.
Exactly.
It's impossible to fathom. Like, even watching some of these raw videos on YouTube, like, there's this one that's like 6.5 minutes uncut, just straight through. The water never stops coming, and whole buildings float by.
Yeah.
And when the cameraman turns around and you see all the people watching what's essentially their world, because how often do you travel out of your own town? Unless you work in a different city, then you're only going one or two towns over. So, like, how often do you leave your home county? And to have that whole world being destroyed, and not only yourself, but almost everybody in your day-to-day life are all now homeless. And they're standing there, completely stone-faced. Nobody's crying. Nobody's talking. They're not making a sound. Just watching their world be destroyed. And you're going to jump on somebody's ass that they're raising money for that instead of something down the street, which may also be bad, may also be heartbreaking, but is on a whole different level.
Yeah.
Just if you're not into it, don't be into it, but you're a total douchebag for getting on somebody else's business about doing something.
And it always happens whenever something like this goes on. I think a lot of people have misappropriated energies where it's like, every time I see people get mad about something, like even that silly video that went up from Tam Tam Pamela or whatever, and everyone's getting completely outraged by it. I just keep thinking to myself, or people making tasteless jokes and people spending more time getting outraged about the jokes than spreading info on what's going on or how to help. I always think to myself, like, why spend the time being mad about somebody being, doing something, in your opinion, wrong about how they react to it? Just do the positive thing. Don't, like, getting in a prolonged argument with someone about where they're putting their charity funds does nothing to help out anybody who needs those funds. So, that is my take on it, anyway. Somber topic!
Yeah, and you know, it's in Japan now. It was in New Zealand a couple weeks ago. It was in Haiti a couple weeks before that. Anytime now, it's going to be in North America. We have big-ass fault lines right here. I live miles away from one. It's only a matter of time before it's my turn.
Yeah, my island is on it's on a separate plate than the mainland almost. So I am always ready for the day I wake up with Granville Island stuck up through my floor, pretty much.
So don't worry, people who don't think you should give money to other countries. You'll have an opportunity around here sooner or later.
Don't worry, Vangelis, because when the big one hits Victoria, and charity starts at home, so
that's right.
I'm not going to help you in the least bit.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for everyone to go like, no, listen, I got problems of my own, and I'm
It's like we only cared about Japan because we like their toys.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Mackenzie brothers were kind of cool, but that was a hell of a long time ago. So, sorry, Canada.
They're from a different country, a different province in your country. I'm sorry. Okay, deal with it. Can't you pick up your own damn bookshelves when they fall over? Gah. Anyway. Be generous, be kind, and be cool. There's a little topic I wanted to bring up. This is a total divergence now. Transformers Prime MMO. I did not read full-on info about this, so I'm operating a little bit on headline rhetoric. But as I understand it, Hasbro and Jagex, if I'm pronouncing that properly, are entering a strategic development agreement to create a new Transformers Online game for the year 2012 in North America, Latin America, Europe, New Zealand, and Australia. And then later on, we got a little bit of an update, which is that the game is probably going to be based on Transformers Prime. So I thought maybe it'd be fun to shoot a couple of ideas around about what this may be up to. Like, is this going to be more of an online game based on a website, or is it going to be like a full-on MMO with a game engine that you download or purchase on disc? I don't really know much about Jagex. Says that they've worked a lot on RuneScape, so I guess that could explain what style the game might be in. They've also done iPhone games such as Bounce Down, Star Cannon, and Minor Disturbance. Not Minor Disturbance, but Minor Disturbance, because it's Disturbed Miners. And they've also published as a third party for other developers, such as War of Legends and the iPhone title Undercroft. Undercroft kind of sounds like a bunch of misspellings all at the same time. But Seth, I wanted to know if you know anything about Jagex.
Well, I'm looking at their website right now. So RuneScape and War of Legends are MMOs. Yeah, I'm not really familiar with either of these games. I've heard of RuneScape.
So have I. I'm trying to remember if RuneScape is based out of a website, like that style of MMO, or is it based out of an application? I can't recall. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, well, looking at the War of Legends subpage, it says there's free online battles. Create free account. So, yeah, I'm not sure. If they're just getting started on this and it's going to be out next year, it makes me doubtful that it's going to be especially deep.
Yeah.
And then wasn't there some other Transformer game?
That was Korean only. Yeah, that was a Korean style one, so
did we ever see that? Like, did we ever see what that was about? Maybe that could be a clue.
I think there's footage of it on YouTube, but I that was such a long time ago, I don't entirely remember anymore. I'm not sure.
I have the trailer video for War of Legends running.
I'm just checking out RuneScape's page. GOG, do you have any input on Jagex or where this MMO might go? Like, do you know anything about them?
Not really. I don't have a lot of hope for this, I'm not going to lie. No. I mean, we really don't know anything other than Hasbro said, we're looking into this.
Yeah.
So, it's... Like, they haven't even...
Oh, wow. RuneScape, or War of Legends, looks kind of like a SimCity kind of asymmetric thing. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine, but, yeah. I mean, I guess it's still early in 2011, so if they were shooting for by holidays of next year, they'd have a year and a half to work on it, but no. Especially jumping right into the online game thing. It's, yeah, I mean, they haven't really, I guess, said, like, even what medium this is going to be on. Is it going to be console or PC or web-based?
RuneScape looks like it's a PC. Going by the screenshots, I would assume it's not browser-based, so that would make it its own application. It's got 3D models and whatnot. They're not amazingly detailed, but they look like they get the job done.
So, we'll see. I'm not going to follow this in the least bit.
I'm not even going to pay attention. Never bring it up around me again.
That way, if this does turn out to be cool, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that thing. And if it turns out to be neat, then I'll be like, okay, maybe I'll give this a look. But otherwise, it's after this segment, that's it.
I think that the best approach would be don't expect something on par with any of the currently long-running and popular MMOs. Be surprised if it's like that, but I mean, unless you're like, if there's any of the listeners out there, if any of you play RuneScape and really love it, let us know in the thread what you love about RuneScape, and maybe we can figure out what might be good about this game.
Well, I'm gonna speculate it will be a fairly simple, not very deep game with modest graphics. Possibly free to play. Maybe there'll be an upgraded paid version, but I'm gonna guess there's gonna be a free version also. There's been similar, like what I'm trying to explain, there's been, I don't know if it's still around, but there was an MMO that was free to play that was like kind of a Harry Potter ripoff. Mm-hmm. It was like Wizard School 101 or something wacky like that. That I remember seeing commercials for. Disney had one, like a Toontown. I think it was called Toontown.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was a free to play thing. So I'm assuming like kind of simple encounters, definitely geared for kids and not hardcore gamers. So, like, simple concept, simple combat, simple quests, like, go over there and do that, and then you go over there and do that, and there'll just be a bunch of people running around. So, it's not going to be any kind of, like, a competition for, you know, Age of Conan.
I don't think Age of Conan is even really considered to be a top-tier or even mid-tier MMO at this point.
I know, that's what I was going for.
No, I was going for a sick burn. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I was originally going to say any competition for World of Warcraft, but I don't think anybody would have thought that ever, so...
Nothing will ever be competition for World of Warcraft.
I aimed low.
Yeah. Maybe it'll turn out as well as DC Universe Online.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I would bet money that it's not going to be on consoles.
It's going to be
a PC thing.
I think generally MMOs need to have an MMO has to have the idea that it'll be really popular to even, like, I still kind of question that DCU even ended up on the PS3, because the whole MMO style of you buy the game, then you pay a subscription to console gamers, I would assume it seems not only intensely foreign, but a little bit offensive compared to, like, a lot of PC gamers already don't even like MMOs because of that. So,
if looking at the screenshots for RuneScape now, I'm curious how it even plays.
Yeah.
Like, if it's more of a point and click sort of Diablo-ish kind of play model, or.
I mean, I'm not expecting an action MMO out of this. Because I have, unless I'm missing something in their iPhone games, I'm not really seeing anything that makes me think Jagex is an action MMO type of group. But again, I haven't played any of their stuff, so if anyone out there has, please come into the thread and, you know, drop some info, educate us a bit.
It's the only thing that I don't ever get with this is, and I guess with Activision and the main console games that we've gotten, I mean, I can see some reasoning behind that, them being Activision, but like these companies that have these licenses, like why do they even bother with these no-name companies like this? It's like if you have a property, especially with Transformers, even a few years ago was pretty big, but due to the movies now, it's huge. Like why does Hasbro not have the like the willpower or the funds or something to just say like, okay, let's make sure that we're going to put this in the hands of someone we know is going to do this right. They're not going to just push out shovelware. It's, I don't know. It's just really strange. Like I can see it with licenses that don't have that big of a following, but it just seems to me like this from a business decision doesn't make any sense. And even with the Activision stuff, like, yeah, the first couple movie games were crap. They finally seemed to mostly get it right with War for Cybertron, and now they seem to be following that model more and putting it in High Moon's hands, and most likely War for Cybertron 2 will be also from High Moon, I'm assuming. So, and then they kind of do this, like, yeah, we're going to do this online thing with this company. It's just, I don't know. It's,
and also
from a business standpoint, it just seems really strange because who in their right mind will look at this and think that this is going to be even the least bit successful? And but they cannot, can they not see that now from the planning phase? Or does someone actually think that if they roll the dice correctly, like this is going to make a profit? And again, there's a lot we don't know about this, so maybe there is some stuff we don't know and maybe I'll eat crow later, but it just, all signs point to this being not anything close to being labeled successful, and I just I don't know how people can't see that.
Well, this makes me think of the CCG with the little cutout models, kind of.
Well, the way I would see it is they are being realistic in that, like they wanted to do some online kind of thing, but they know that they're not going to compete on the MMO market in any meaningful way. So instead of investing the millions upon millions of dollars to do an air quotes proper MMO, they're going to go this simple, cheap route and advertise the hell out of it during hub programming and kind of use it more as an extended marketing angle. So they're exposing kids to the Transformer brand more as this game that they could go to the computer and play for free. And then maybe if there is, and I'm assuming that there's going to be a free model, like this Toontown thing from the past that I would see commercials for a lot while we're watching programming meant for kids. And this wizard school thing that I don't remember the name of that I would see advertised a lot on like a Cartoon Network and whatnot.
Yeah, I can see that. I know Disney does something similar with like their, some of their stuff, like Club Penguin, because I work on internet problems as my job, and I can't even begin to describe the amount of kids that play some of these online Disney games. But those are all browser-based, but at the same time, it could be a similar model. What you're saying makes sense. So, but if that's the case, if this is something that's just meant for like some kid to run around and interact with other children, like, okay, that's great, but I don't think that's anything that's going to interest any of us, sadly. But I guess, I don't know. If it's something that's made for kids and it's good for kids, then great. That's great. You're creating young Transformers fans, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not going to be something that we're going to be interested in if that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I also then hit my whole thing of like, if you're going to do a Transformers massively online game, what is the draw of it going to be, given that Transformers are much different characters to create than your average like high fantasy character? You can't just give me a robot and go like, here's your robot and he's got leather armor and a wooden sword, because it's a Transformer, so he transforms into stuff. That adds, well, like that. I mean,
do something similar to how they did with the first movie DS games.
I guess.
They have kind of generobots, and they scan alt modes and stuff.
It's just that the whole transforming thing adds this whole, like, I mean, we've seen it in much higher budget console games, that the very nature of a robot that turns into a vehicle that isn't piloted has presented so many programming hurdles to get over and design hurdles to get over. Like, I'm not expecting anything special out of this, really.
Yeah, like maybe a few head options, a few color options, and there you go.
Yeah.
Go collect 9 giant rat pelts.
Cybertronian rat pelts.
They could go the dark route if you play as a Decepticon, say, bring me 5 still beating sparks. That would be kind of cool.
It depends how Prime goes, you know. It's been a pretty heavy show at times. We'll see we'll see what happens with that MMO. If we even hear about it again before 2012.
I kind of want to sign up for an account and play RuneScape for like 5 minutes just to see how it plays.
And you can sell your account to Chinese gold farmers afterwards.
I'm going to see what happens when I click play now.
It takes you to the main page, I think. Keep us updated. In the meantime...
Oh, it's loading Java.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
So it is browser-based. Wow.
Loading game code, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
it's going to be Club Penguin with...
Checking Transformers.
Hey, everyone, remember Habbo Hotel? Pools closed. Get it? in the meantime, I think this is a good point for an intermission. So we will be back with some what we got this week and some listener questions here on WTF at Toontown Hotel.
Mr. T has the greatest hair in the world. You can't deny it. It's been proven by science, fool. Now you can have the greatest hair in the world of Warcraft with the Mohawk Grenade. Yeah, wherever I go, I'm making Warcraft look good. So don't give me no back talk. Try World of Warcraft free at trywarcraft.com.
Find a Night Elf Mohawk in-game and claim your Mohawk grenades.
I'm Mr. T and I'm a Night Elf Mohawk. What's your game?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back after a very short intermission break, and we're going to talk about what we got this week, and we're going to do things a little bit more unified because we've had a heavy crossover on what we got this week. So to kick things off, I thought we'd just do this unified stuff first and then cover our singular things afterwards. That way people can be all like, I just want to hear about the new toys that you all got. And then they'll hear that. And then we can do our own stuff afterwards. Do you guys think that would work?
It works for me.
Yeah. Good.
I think it's okay.
All right. Let's start off with the duos then. Cause if I understand correctly, me and Seth have caught up to GOG and we got ourselves some Cup and some Scourge.
Yeah, we did.
Let's talk about Scourge.
Okay.
What do you like about Scourge?
I love his vehicle mode in how completely enclosed and compact it is. There's almost nothing resembling kibble on that thing.
Yeah.
There's like a little kind of bit in the bottom, but I mean the main body and wings are so connected and smooth. It's one of the most enclosed flying vehicles since original Soap Dish Scourge. it's really kind of incredible.
It makes me think a lot about I always cite Terradive as my main example of how far flying vehicle transformers have come. It's kind of like Terradive. He doesn't have a big honking undercarriage that you look at and kind of try to forget is there. He's big and aerodynamic.
Yeah. Yeah, and at first, like when the first pictures came out, I was like, flying wing, it's not so fish. As soon as I took it out of the package and turned it over and was just looking at it as it was, I was like, damn, they nailed it. They got this all the way. So
yeah, that's a big, huge part of it.
And, hell yeah.
And how much those, like, engine pods do to become the arms.
Yeah.
There's, like, more transforming going on in those arms than some figures of that size class
have altogether. The Seekers, am I right?
Yeah. Those molds suck.
What are some old toys? Yeah, those arms, I really like what they do because it's almost like it's all that work is done just to make sure they don't look like they're just made of those big cylinder engines. Like, you flip them over and you get that slightly more angular squared off detail with the silver stuff. And among other things. I really like the wings and the cape, I gotta say. Once I figured out that there's a second joint for the cape formation, like, you know how you open up the wings on that joint?
Uh-huh.
There's another joint on the other side of that joint, so you can actually make the outstretched open wing things suck in a little bit and look a bit more cape-like. And once I found that out, I was like, I like both styles.
I told you I did that 2 weeks ago.
I know, but I forgot.
I remembered, and I went looking for it because I liked it better down. I'm a good listener. Sometimes.
Bad listen. Although I did use Gog's posts in the cup thread, which I'll get to later on. Those were helpful.
Yeah, I love the little homage with his gun being very target master in design.
What I really like is that they also made it so that you can still split it up into two guns and it works just fine, so that if you're going to be, you know, a totally sane person like me and eventually have two Scourges and a United Scourge, then you can kind of differentiate how the little Scourges look in comparison to the Papa Scourge.
Yeah, face is great. Love that he has the little thing on top of his head still.
And it's a weapon clip.
Yep.
You can clip any weapon up there. Even the big silly ones.
I got a giant gun on my head.
You give him any of the Dark Mount weapons on top of his head. And I really like, again, like, the clip system. Gotta be one of my favorite understated gimmicks of the last year. Because it's like, he's got the one on his head, his smaller gun uses the clip system to plug onto the larger one, and he's got a pair of clip system clips on the undercarriage of his vehicle mode if you want to give him some, like, bomber-style stuff. I don't know. It's like the clip system thing. It's like, I don't even use it all that much, but I just really love how it's there and it's so unintrusive to put in. I am digging it.
That's a lot of good stuff.
If I had one problem with him, it would be that I find it's a little bit scary compressing his head back down. Like, pushing it up's not that hard, but then when I want to push it back down, I feel like I'm working against something I'm supposed to be, like, releasing. And then it just clicks down. It's kind of freaky. Man, yeah, that vehicle mode is gorgeous. Scourge is a win, I think. I am super happy I got Scourge. He turned out really well, I think.
They knocked it out of the park easily. He's one of the best deluxe figures released in a long time.
And I wanted to come down on his shoulder width. And, like, I mean, it bugs me a little bit, but it's just, like, you put him in any pose, and it's so easy to put him in poses that just mask the shoulder width completely. And like, the amount, like, those ankles make his legs do so much. Like, you can put him in so many different leg stances that aren't just wide-legged, you know, robot stances. Really works out well.
Yeah, I would... I think I kind of would have liked his legs a little bit longer, because he does kind of have a little bit of a squat look to him with how wide those shoulders are and how wide his chest is.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit beefier leg, I think, would have helped with the proportion some, but I mean, there's nowhere to have made the legs bigger. So it's like, it's wishing for things that cannot be.
Like, I really like how his leg extension works in that it's not just a slide out mechanism, but it's like an actual joint you're folding.
Yeah.
It feels so solid. Hopefully within a month or two I'll be able to report in on how United Scourge turned out. but really there's no reason not to get this one. And as far as I've been told, it's also very easy to paint the eyes red. I think we brought this up before. You can literally disassemble the head and pull the light pipe section out and just paint the eyes. Blam.
Blam, said the lady.
And then there was Cup, and Cup is actually my runaway favorite of all the toys I got this week. And I know exactly why some people might not agree with me on that, but a lot of the stuff about him, for me, super, super duper works. Mine had a bobblehead when it came out of the package, and then I heard that GOG had posted info on how to fix that, so I went looking, and I'd forgotten that GOG's problem wasn't so much a bobblehead as it was that clip not connecting. So I still tightened the screws just in case, because the clip on mine, it connects, but it was a little bit loose, and also, since I forgot that that clip worked like that, at first, I thought that it was a single clip, and that the green part was like something I'd broken off, and I got a little bit freaked out. It's a weird head-raising system, but mine had a really super bobbling head on the ball joint, and I was getting ready to like start doing all my tightening stuff, and then I read you just have to push it, it becomes dislodged from the ball, and you just have to push it from the back of the head, and it clicks back in place, and on mine, it totally did. So now my cup is tight-headed and totally works. Seth, how about you? How are you taking cup?
Well, my head was fine, so I got lucky there. One of the rare cases where that turned out to be true. Where I would kind of have liked Scourge's legs to be a little bigger, I would have liked Cup's legs to be slightly smaller.
Mm-hmm.
A little too beefy. Giant feet. Kind of makes his head seem too small. Kind of, if like at BotCon, if we see those cup heads, those third-party cup heads,
mm-hmm.
at a reasonable price, I think I would get them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't really have a problem with the official head. But I kind of like those third-party heads more.
I'm in the same position. I like the head he has now. I think it works. But the third-party heads, I would love to physically see one on a cup figure. Because I think that's what would make me decide whether or not I'm into them.
I just really like the idea of him having like a cigar stump in his mouth, too.
Yes.
It just seems necessary.
I think, like, I agree, actually, his legs are kind of long. It took me a little while to get used to, his height. I kind of took it more as, like, I thought about it, and I was like, it kind of works for me if I imagine it as this version of Cup is such an old robot that he's just rebuilt parts of his body so often that he's become a very large robot. He's got a lot of additional bulk on him that's a little bit unnatural. But if I had, like, there was one problem with him that I still have, which is that I really think he needed a waist joint, and I don't think it would have been impossible to do a waist joint underneath his belt piece, but you know,
I'll put a waist joint underneath your belt piece.
Twist it left and right, click, click. I am loving his transformation though, and I'm having a really good time with both modes. It took me a little while to learn how to get his vehicle mode to go back to being solid, but once I figured that out, it was fine. And his backpack. I know there's a very easy mod to make his backpack fold in a little bit lower and more flush, but I kind of don't mind it up there, if only because it has those two clip points on it, so it's kind of like, it's up there and has the stopper on the joint, so it can basically deal with the weight of putting weapons on there, I think.
I posted a picture, does yours not go down that far?
Let me take a look. No, mine doesn't go down that far. Well, I can push mine down that far, an additional click, but it feels...
That's weird, because mine goes down that far on its own. But, I mean, I know some people's don't, because I've heard of people having to literally cut plastic in order to get it to do that, but mine does that without any issues, so I don't know.
It's not like a lot of plastic, it's like, you know, the gray hinge it's on. Instead of being perfectly round, there's an angled point on it that stops it at about halfway.
Yeah, that's the case with mine also.
Yeah, I don't have mine near me, so after we're done recording, I want to take a closer look.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have it, a lot of people have been modifying theirs to not have it, so
Yeah, I didn't even think twice about where it was. I was fine with how it is.
Yeah. I think it works because it makes the bottom of the folded up hood in line with his belt waistline area.
Yeah.
Seth, any other thoughts on him? How are you taking the doors on his arms?
Yeah, I was just fiddling with those because in that picture Gog put up, he has... I thought I had him around the way that the instructions tell you, where they go way out past his hand. And in the picture Gog just put up, he has him turned the other way around. But
yeah, it's just messing with
they that. Definitely conflict with the shoulder wheels. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like either way is ideal.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's a small thing. There's been cases of characters with lots of crap on their forearms that kind of get in the way of their hands, but, you know, it's just one of those things you gotta deal with.
Maybe
if there was a cut to where you could fold it in half back, would have been great, but I guess you can only ask for so much.
I hadn't considered rotating them like Gog had them rotated. I had the doors just on the sides of his arms. I'm figuring out which way I like more now.
Yeah, well, I tried to have them, or I didn't think to rotate them until I was looking in the instructions, and the instructions tell you to rotate them.
Oh.
And then I did, and I'm like, okay, well, this looks wrong because there's less going out past the hands the way that I had them, but the instructions are clearly saying put them way out past the hands, and then that gets them out of the way of the wheels. So, I mean, it's a choice. Are you okay with having to finagle them around the wheels and have the hands more open or not?
Yeah. I mean, I like that there's some option in there. And I definitely think it's up to your aesthetic preference. Pick the one you think works. But, yeah, overall, I'm really digging him. I like his gun. I like that he has these kind of like double directional pair of elbow joints so he can really hold his gun close to his body in firing poses. Overall, Cup and Scourge are my favorite parts of what I got this week by far. Not to say I dislike the other stuff I got this week, but Cup especially really wowed me. Scourge, exceeded expectations. Cup exceeded expectations as well. I'm digging.
Well, the 86 movie Decepticons, Scourge awesome, Cyclonus awesome, Galvatron.
Yeah. We need a new Galvatron toy. Like, really need a new Galvatron toy.
Or that toy in the size class it was designed to be.
Yeah. Oh, it could have been.
Because there's a lot of stuff done right in the sculpting. It just doesn't work when it's that size.
Yeah. And he looks so tiny compared to everybody else. And especially with, like, Cup is a really tall figure. So that's another 86 character who now entirely dwarfs Galvatron to a hilarious degree. But that aside, there was also a new figure that all three of us got this week. Shall we move along to the Jack of Wheels?
If you don't want to just get the other two-man one out of the way.
Yeah. Thundercracker. It's Starscream, and he's blue.
My BotCon one is packed away. I was just trying to get a picture of it up real quick. Okay, I found a picture of it. I just wanted to do a comparison. I think for the most part, I'm going to say I like this version a little better than the BotCon version.
Oh.
I like that in the BotCon version, the turbine nipples are painted. instead of just blue plastic. But there's some other details, like the white stripes on his shoulders from the BotCon version, I don't think are really necessary.
Mm.
But the red triangle in his intakes is necessary, and the BotCon version did not have that. So, you know, they're very similar. Very similar. But then the VOTCON version has the silver in his feet.
It's true.
That's necessary. I mean, they're very similar. I mean, either way, you're getting a good Thundercracker color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
There's just tiny little differences in the paint that could throw it either way.
Yeah, I mean, this retail one, I really like the silver paint that they used on it. That actually was my favorite part of this, aside from the shade of blue. That silver paint's gorgeous. And the red triangles really are a nice touch.
And the BotCon version doesn't have the two little red spots in between the chest silver and the waist silver next to the cockpit.
This one, I think, has a somewhat more interesting-looking robot mode. The white stripes, for sure, I'm not as into. And I think that the stripes on the wings really kind of match, like, they're a little bit more dynamic looking, a little bit more angular, and that feels a little bit more classic style. Also, I like the tail fins more, because they aren't quite as blue as the BotCon ones. So this overall, it's a little bit more interesting to look at. Although he doesn't have the yellow triangles and the red stripes on the top of the intakes in jet mode. Oh. And also, BotCon Thundercracker. BotCon Thundercracker has those black squares on the side of his cockpit so that he has a fully black head. Whereas retail Thundercracker has a better looking jet mode because there's no black squares, but then the sides of his head, they're blue.
I didn't notice that.
But BotCon Thundercracker has little yellow lights painted on the tips of his wings, and this retail one doesn't.
Well, I'm glad I have both, so I don't have to worry about it too much.
Yeah, I got both of them, so, you know, whatever I like more, I can just pull out, put on display. But, yeah, also, this is, if ever there has been a wave that a 2006 mold really felt out of place in, it's this one, I think. Especially, like, these were all new arrivals to me, so I got Cup, I got Scourge, I got Wheeljack, and then I got Thundercracker, and Thundercracker looks physically outmatched by every other toy that came in that box.
And you also have, like, 10 copies of that mold already.
Yes, that too.
That being said, I'm still going to buy Thundercracker.
Well, you got to. I mean, like, if you've been with it this long, it's like, I don't know. I'm happy I got him. I like how he turned out. I think he looks really nice. But I also bought him partly out of obligation. So I was like, this saga is, you know, this is possibly the end of a 4-year story now. I gotta be there for it.
Yeah, well, I had ordered the wave.
Yeah, me
from
too.
BBTS, so Thundercracker came in it. But I also ordered the wave that had Thrust in it. And I didn't bother opening Thrust. I bothered to open Thundercracker.
That's true.
But I know Thundercracker, he's got a soft spot for me. He's the first Transformer I ever got. I got Soundwave at the same time, or not Soundwave, Skywarp at the same time. Like a dummy, I had enough birthday money for two Transformers, and I picked two friggin' identical ones. I want two jars! One's black and the other one's blue. But I had committed to Thundercracker first.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I mean, for those who, you know, those unfortunate, you know, slightly more peasant-like souls who missed out on BotCon 07's toys. I mean, this is great news for all you guys.
The proles. I call them the proles.
The proles. You know, I suppose now we can all live in this kind of fantasy world where we're all somehow on an equal plane now that we all have access to the same characters in that one mold. But
yeah, well, you know, when people say, I have all the Seekers now, I'll just roll my eyes and go, of course you do.
Yeah, true fans have doubles.
I'll be sure you got. I bet you do.
True fans your have Ramjet the one as with well?
The, oh yeah, like Ramjet with his dopey stripes. I'm camouflaged. Or not Ramjet, the Thrust with his dopey stripes. I'm Thrust. I'm camouflage stripes.
I'm Thrust. I'm a VTOL, I swear. Even though my VTOL's my... kind of VTOL.
I got fans on my wings. I can fly up and down.
They spin. I'm Thrust. Look, they're spinning.
Do you know why I have tiger stripes on my wings? Because winning.
Oh. We were classy here.
You didn't think I could do it, but I did it. Y'all didn't think I would, but I did.
Did you really?
Never doubt me. Never doubt me.
I think it's time we move along to Wheeljack.
Oh, champion!
So, we all got Wheeljack this week. So, I the only thing I want to say as a preamble is I am so impressed they actually got this white a white plastic. Because, hey, guess what, United? Your big advantage just totally got pwned. But Gog, how are you digging Wheeljack? Give me some Wheeljack.
I like Wheeljack. Obviously, the thing that people are most concerned about, one way or another, is the fact that he is shorter than Trax. Mm-hmm. And it's a little weird too because he's not shorter than Trax on the box art. You can see the legs are pulled out more than you can physically do that on your toy. And what a friend of the show, Crasis, as he said on Twitter, he felt like he almost broke his toy trying to do that, what he saw in the box, because it looked like it could pull out a little more. And he thought, well, maybe it just needs one of the last clicks. And one of those last clicks, apparently, he felt like he almost broke it. And was lucky that he checked the feedback thread on TFW and saw that, nope, please don't do that because you're going to have problems. And I don't mind it. It just sucks that the box shows you that you can do that. Someone disassembled Wheeljack's legs and you can see that the rail for extending the knee section is molded much shorter than Trax is by several millimeters. So, he is purposely engineered to be shorter. And some people had theorized that it's because if you do pull it up like it shows on the box, then you have these on Trax are hidden, but on Wheeljack you would see these big holes of the rail where it slides. So number one, making the leg shorter makes the wheels not have that weird hole in the knee, and number two, it makes them a little shorter and stumpier, which number one kind of emulates the original Wheeljack toy, and
yeah.
Number two, further differentiates him from Trax. And that's my biggest, what I'm impressed with most is that, if you hold them side by side, you can tell that they are the same mold, but there are just so many nice little differences between him and Trax that it, at least to me, it feels almost like an entirely different toy.
Definitely. I mean, this is the Sideswipe Sunstreaker thing taken to a much like an evolved degree, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't have minded if his legs were a little bit longer, just because because the hood of his legs is facing forward, and his legs look really beefy and powerful. His feet look huge, and I think it might have been a little bit better proportioned if his legs were longer, but it's far from a complaint. It's just maybe if they had to do it over again, yeah, they could have done some changes, but I don't mind at all. And Wheeljack is so good. It actually kind of took me a minute when I looked at his head sculpt. I couldn't tell if I liked it or not because it looked way more classic-y and plain, I think, than I was expecting, even though of course I had seen pictures and everything, but because we had like the alternator's head sculpt, which was really aggressive, and I don't have my Cybertron downshift around here, but I think even that was sculpted to look a little more aggressive
Well, he used to have an angry eyebrow, I think.
Yeah, and so when we get the Classics Wheeljack, it's just really kind of just plain Jane, and I couldn't tell at first what I thought of that, if I liked it or would have preferred a different head sculpt, but in the end, I think it looks great. It looks like Wheeljack, G1 Wheeljack, and yeah, it's such a great mold, and like Trax for some reason just doesn't seem to be as popular as Jazz, and I think that has everything to do with the character, I assume, but just that Jazz toy, I was so impressed with it when I got it the first time and thought that it did things so much better than the Jazz mold, and it was just much more interesting and had more parts and there was more to the transformation, and even being impressed with that, like even though Wheeljack is basically the same toy with just an alternate transformation and some slight retooling in the legs, it feels like a new toy to me. And I like the weapons too. I mean, they attach the same way, not weapons, wrenches, I guess. But they attach the same way as Trax's missiles, so they look like kind of side pipes in the vehicle mode. But I like how, because he doesn't really, with Trax, you put his missiles on his shoulders and then he holds the gun. But so what is Wheeljack going to do? He's got a shoulder missile. Is he going to just run around with wrenches? So they added little 3mm bars so you can clip his wrenches inside of his legs as storage. And I thought that was really great. And another thing that I had noticed right off the bat is both of his wrenches each have 2 3-millimeter clip points. So you can clip other stuff onto his wrenches to like extend them out or make them other tools or something. Like you could clip one of Jazz's speakers onto his wrench and give him like a sonic wrench or something. I don't know. But his wrenches are expandable, and that was really interesting to me. I can't think of anything offhand. I haven't really put any thought into it, but that in itself is kind of neat because his wrenches are kind of plain, but with a little imagination, you could have a lot of fun with them.
Rocket wrenches. I'm just messing with that now. That's actually pretty cool. You can even just stick the wrenches together into some kind of funny looking plier shape. Seth, how about you? How are you taking Wheeljack?
I am not as loving it as Gog seems to be. I'm not hating it, but not counting Thundercracker of these three new molds, Scourge, Cup, and Wheeljack. Wheeljack's he's last on my list. I really like the head sculpt. I think I would have preferred if his little flashy, when he talks, ears were solid instead of transparent. And I kind of wish his eyes were a little easier to see, because the light piping just doesn't work very well for me with this, so you just can't even really see his eyes most of the time. But with the legs, like I'm cool with the explanation that it invokes the original toy more, and it totally does. Except for the original toy had giant gorilla arms. And when you look at how short the legs are, how gigantically wide they are, how gigantically wide his feet are, how very wide his chest is, the wings sticking off at angles, the big, huge backpack on his back, and then he has these tiny little skinny arms. I just sort of imagine Wheeljack sort of like stumbling around in his workshop, like bumping into everything as he goes and like trying to reach stuff and not be like, I can't reach it. I can't knock some stuff. Oh, damn it. Oh, I can't reach. Ratchet, help me. And then he's trying to bend over to pick up the stuff that he knocked down, but his arms are too short to reach the ground when he bends over. And he's like, oh, I can't. Maybe the wrench. I can reach it with the wrench. No, damn it. Ratchet, help me.
And
oh no, Dinobot. And I don't know. It just, the proportions seem just way too off.
That should have been Real Jack in Transformers Prime.
I haven't seen the episode yet, but apparently he's like the super friggin' badass warlock assassin or something. And
again.
And I'll slip them in anywhere. You don't know when they're coming. You'll slip them in. The left arm on mine is like super loose, though. It's popped off many times, and just you could hear it. Just
You know,
super loose.
I have a different problem with mine. He doesn't have any loose joints, but he has joints that are so tight that they creak. Like, here, listen to this. Like, hang on. Ah, crap. Everything's all knocking together now. His wing joints, when I fold one of them up, it sounds like that.
Oh, wow.
It's super tight. And there's another joint on him somewhere. I can't remember which one, but it also is almost creaking tight.
My knees make a little pop, but, yeah, this one arm's really loose, and it popped off right away. But
that sucks.
Yeah, I didn't have any joint problems on mine.
I don't have any loose problems. It's just like I have that one knee and then that one wing joint are creaky tight.
So. Speaking of the wings, I was also kind of impressed that they painted the inside of the doors.
It makes them look so much different than Trax's. Yes.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. And all the little detailing, like on his wings, all that stuff matches his original design.
Yeah, the colors are so great. The car mode is very, very good.
Yeah.
It's just his arms just seem too slight for the rest of his mass, which is like the exact opposite problem of the original G1 with his big, giant, long gorilla arms.
Yeah.
The other thing I was impressed with too was the way his wheels will rotate down and be heels in his vehicle mode. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Trax didn't do that, did he? And then when I look, the wheels are mounted in a different spot, but the part where they mount on Wheeljack, the posts are totally there with the hole in it. So it was, we know that they had this plan to be both from the beginning, but it was just cool because like his Trax, you're like, oh, he's got this kind of post thing on the inside, on the outside of his leg. I wonder what that's for. And that was totally, yeah, that's where the wheels get riveted to from Wheeljack.
Well, if you look at Wheeljack's, the back of his alt mode where Trax had that fold over clip, clip panel for the missiles on the back of his car mode, Wheeljack's spoiler is in that same spot, but it actually goes in there using the same rivet point. So yeah, technically, and cool. it can rock a little bit, even though it's not meant to.
Yeah, but they used that for Wheeljack's spoiler, but then they used it for Trax's missiles to attach to in his flight mode, which is just so great.
And it's the same parts count, because it plugs in the same way. It's just that Trax's piece is small enough to actually rotate on the rivet, whereas Wheeljack's piece is too large to rotate, but it's not meant to. It's like these, yeah, little touches that are so great. I just wanted to throw in, I totally bought into his proportions and size after about 10 minutes of messing with him. I know a lot of people were complaining about them, and I was kind of like, you know, I see exactly why this would bug you, but it doesn't bug me at all. And even the side, like, I love the fact that his legs are just giant chunks of car shaped like some giant boots. Like, that's one of my favorite aesthetics. I think the shortness being related to the G1 toy, it's a great way to kind of explain it away if you don't want to get into any more details about it. Like, it's one of the, I don't even know if it was an intentional homage directly to that, but it kind of helps it make a case. I even like that with Trax, you know, you can rotate those wheels on Trax's shoulders to be to the front, whereas on Wheeljack, you can kind of leave them not entirely to the side, but you can angle them around a bit and make them look different too. A lot of great things on this guy. I like the wrenches. I like that they store in the legs. I think that was a great idea because when you transform them, you can actually just pop those pipes off the sides of the car and stick them into the leg points immediately. And they're out of the way for most of the transformation. So you don't have to worry too much about keeping parts lying all over the place. And for the shoulder missile, I totally see how if you plug it onto the gray piece, it can feel like it's a little bit close to his head. But back when I got Trax, I realized you could also clip it onto there's a point underneath his shoulders on the wing rotation joint where they plug in for alt mode. And if you plug the missile launcher onto there and then just tilt the silver part to be facing forward, it actually, I think, looks even better. So that's what I've been doing. But again, it's up to you guys. It's all aesthetic choice. That's the lovely thing about the clip system. You can pick a spot and just stick it in. That's how I go about life.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. Sorry. So I think Wheeljack's a win. I don't even really see a need for the United one, given how white the plastic is on this guy, unless the United one has...
I think the paint job on the Hasbro one's better, too.
Yeah, I mean,
like the,
I got
on, like on the chest and everything, I actually think that the Hasbro version is superior.
I got to see the United one in person to see exactly what kind of shiny paint they use and see if maybe that does something amazing, but I'm not seeing any way that would work as well. Like the flat green and the flat red with this flat white are just a beautiful combination.
And yeah, I just meant the design too, because they actually have an entirely different design with the red paint on on Wheeljack's chest.
Ah.
And they both look G1-y, but they do it to slightly different styles. And I like the Hasbro one better myself.
I'm just even imagining, like, if this green was a shiny metallic green, I think it would actually not blend in as well as it does on this version. Like, the flatness of it, to me, is kind of characteristic of this whole design. Basically,
Where do they chrome the United?
The green paint on the United is shiny paint.
Oh, but there's no chrome?
I don't think so. United's been doing more stuff with shiny paint than with chrome, as far as I heard, which I like. I like that better as a shiny addition.
You just like shiny.
I like shiny things. It's so shiny.
Shiny tan.
Oh, shiny tan. New generations. Me and Seth got the 4-pack from Big Bad. They're all out and about. If you can get your hands on them, definitely. All of them have quality. If you think they look cool, you'll probably like them. Unless you can't stand Wheeljack's shortness, or you have some problem with. I mean, I read on the feedback some people having problems with Cup and with Scourge, but a lot of those I just couldn't agree with. Like, you know, Cup's transformation being difficult, and I was like, I don't really think it is. Scourge, some people don't like the shoulders. I kind of see it until I start posing them. But overall, a very good wave, very solid wave. Good toys. Let's talk about what else we got this week, though. Seth, did you get anything else? I know you've been on your Revoltech speed train to happiness.
Revoltech Rampage!
Bum, 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 ba-da-dum!
That was the name I gave it on Twitter. If you have a Twitter machine and have been following me, you're probably sick of it by now. It's just taking a break. It's not over. I have 3 more Revoltechs in shipping at current, and I believe one of them will arrive tomorrow.
Oh, dear.
So I got 4 over the week. I got them all at the same time, but, you know, I spread them out being revealed over Twitter over the week because
you're staggering your reveals like BotCon?
Yeah. Because I wanted to make a little thing of it, and I thought maybe somebody would care.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute.
And I gave it a little name. It was Revoltech Rampage, Day 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, it's cute.
Boom.
So I got a Kuro, a black kitty cat, with some faces. And,
do you know what Kuro means in Japanese?
Black cat?
Yeah, just black.
Oh, black. That's kind of racist.
I don't want to talk about Pokemon anymore.
You got a Squirtle? So I thought it would be cute to emulate... what's his... Is it Yamaguchi?
Yes.
That is it. Yeah, I thought it'd be cute to emulate a pitcher, Yamaguchi, who designs Revoltechs. He had tweeted on Twitter a while ago of the white cat. I don't remember his name.
Shiro?
Toro.
Or Toro.
Toro. is that Japanese for white?
Shiro is Japanese for
white. It's not. But thanks for playing. So that,
I know. Well, I'm just saying that that makes it racist that they would call the black one black and not the white one white. Because he's the white one could have the white one could have its own name, and yeah, that's cool.
Thanks but then for playing.
The black one is just. Anyway, so he had the Aryan cat on the base that comes with Iron Man, so it looked like the rocket power was coming out of the bottom of Stutzel's brown feet and taking off, and I thought it would be cute to do that myself, so I put Toro on the Iron Man base, and when I went to take him off, one of the pegs broke off in his foot.
No!
So I wrecked my Iron Man stand, and I wrecked my Toro's foot. I have a plan for kind of repairing the Iron Man stand in a way it could work again by using a metal or plastic dowel rod and a pin vise. And all my efforts to get the peg out of Toro's foot have failed. So I'm probably going to have to go with a pin drill and drill it out, which is not ideal because I will most likely end up changing the diameter of that foothole, which is too bad. So if you have fun ideas like that yourself, I advise being super duper extra careful about it.
Yes. One thing that I find always helps is to have some sandpaper, fine grain sandpaper on hand. And if you find a peg is having trouble going into a hole on a toy, then you use the sandpaper to very, very slightly thin the peg and see if it goes in easier. And then if you need the peg to be thicker, use some floor polish with Future in it, like Pledge, and then apply that carefully with a toothpick to re-thicken the peg. And then you're all good and set to go.
Yep. Then day two was a Gurren Lagann.
Hey, should I say it on the recording, or do you want to just...
Go ahead.
Okay, I feel really bad saying this, but I didn't review Gurren Lagann because of Seth. I kind of wish I did. I did it because
of... Oh, I thought you were just going to plug your video. I didn't know you were going to diss me.
No, I was going to diss you. I dedicated entirely to you in hindsight. I was doing it for very selfish site-based reasons.
I planted the seed because I reminded you that you had teased making the video a long-ass time ago. And I said, hey, did you ever make that video? And you were like, no, but maybe I should. And then did. So maybe you wouldn't have even thought about it.
Other people have reminded me about doing those. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to diss
those people Daniel. Those people aren't important to you like I am.
I know. You're my special Revel Tech princess. I mean, like, except a cooler term than that.
But I used to be your special Revel Tech princess.
And you are, but you're the other version of that term. It's like one of you can be the prince and one can be the princess, only this with terms that are far more gender neutral. One can be the major, and one can be...
I'm Princess Androgyny?
Yes. It's my favorite Revel Tech toy.
Is it a Froilein? Well, if it was a Froilein, it wouldn't be very androgynous, would it?
Spoiler, it's in the anime show. You gotta watch it. Princess Androgyny. Gurren Lagann Revel Tech!
and part of my claiming all responsibility is, like, the big false giant ego character that I like to bust out every now and then.
I know what you're talking about.
Like claiming victory on something that has no victory condition attached to it, sort of a thing. But
how are you liking Gurren Lagann? Because I've always held him to very high regard myself.
Yeah, he's really cool. As soon as I posted a picture where I had swapped the forehead plate for the non-sunglasses one, because I wanted to do a picture where he's getting ready to throw his boomerang thing, and that would look weird if he was doing that and had sunglasses on his chest. I got a lot of people on Twitter warning me about ever touching that thing.
Yeah.
You can't believe you touched that. Oh my god, you got me so careful! And as soon as I had touched it, I knew, I could tell, oh, this seems really fragile. I should be careful. But I don't have any trouble getting the piece out. I guess it's a lot tighter for most people.
There have been people in
with
past.
Mine, it slides on and off very easily with no That's need good. To wiggle, yeah, of course.
In past, there have been people in your position who have had it pop off pretty easy. It is rare compared to the number of people who have, like, in my case, I have to sit there and, like, apply the most careful corkscrewing pressure to it for, like, a minute to get it off. And
yeah, mine is fine as well. Just as a precaution, try to take it off from the red part and not the clear part, the sunglasses part.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So as long as you do that, you'll be fine. A lot of people went to yank that on the first try, and it snapped after having the toy open for 5 minutes, and you can imagine how pissed people were.
A lot of people, like I when I talked about it in the video, I was wondering if maybe I was overstating it, but I got tons of people telling me, like, oh, I remember back when I got that toy, I broke it too, or my buddy broke it, or like, I think it was Ryder Pathos on Twitter sent me a message going, like, yeah, I bought a used one, and when I got it, I was wondering why it just came with 2 0 sunglass red plates, and then I saw the sunglasses separately in another bag, and went, oh, he broke it.
Boom, boom. Yeah, in your video, you point out how the way the chest articulation works, you could get some goofy mouth poses. Mm. I kind of like some of the goofy mouth poses. So it looks like it's going,
I don't think that's exactly how I would have stated it, but I can see what you mean. It's totally going, duh! And then you put on the zero sunglass faceplate so you can make one of his eyes totally squinting tiny compared to the other one. So he's going all like, duh!
Because that's the way Team Gurren rolls.
Yeah.
Next up. Another Gurren Lagann character. I forget how to say it. Is it? It's Verl's
Enki
gunman.
Enki do.
Does he have his katanas in his helmet, or does he have a mohawk blade?
It's the mohawk blade.
That's Enki do.
Okay, Enki do. And then the forearm one is Dudu.
Enki Dudu. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally Dudu.
That's the one that I almost could have bought for $50 once.
No. Yeah. I would like to get the helmet version. I would also like to get the Spiral Kings gunmen and have the wings. But man, the Spiral Kings, everywhere I've seen it online, I think the cheapest I've seen is like $75.
Yeah, and it's
that's way too much.
And not only is that a lot for it, but I like it a lot. But as a Reveltech, it's a lot less advanced than Gurren Lagann is. He's got a lot less actual revolver joints. His hips are entirely monoshaft joints. So and his drill pieces are super fragile. So he's a lot less fun.
He's still very cool.
He is very cool though. Yeah. I like him.
You take his chest. He has a piece of chest armor on, and you can take it off to reveal the face underneath before anyone realized, or before the characters realized that was basically like just a black version of Gurren Lagann.
Yes, and the head sculpt is gorgeous, and his tail. The fact his tail has a standpoint on it is glorious. I do like that part.
Yeah, if I could find it for a more reasonable price, I would totally get it, but like $75-$80?
Yeah, no.
And I haven't been able to find Enki.
Really?
Enki, or however you pronounce it. But none of the sites I've checked have had it. Like, maybe if I go looking on eBay, I'll find it.
Enki used to be super rare, but then he got a reissue, and I thought that the rarity cleared up after the reissue.
I haven't seen it.
There's one on eBay right now for $29 free shipping.
That's not bad.
Here's one for Enki. Buy it now. $19.89 with $10 shipping, so it's still $30.
Send Seth those links.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't looked on eBay, but like all the web sellers I had looked at. And this Inky Doo I found on a site called Current Hobby, which had some pretty decent prices on some stuff. It might be worth checking out. Just
I was just saying, I've ordered from them before. They're a good store.
Yeah, they're in Newark, California, which is a little less than an hour and a half away. The cheapest shipping option was FedEx. Watching the tracking, it went far away out of the way to get to me through FedEx. Like, it went past Petaluma, deeper into California to get to Sacramento, then back the other way to Windsor, which is well north of here, and then back down. It like did a loop around and then attacked from the north to get here. And if I ever order from them again, I'm going to try the USPS option and see if it's quicker. Because it really doesn't seem like it should take that long traveling such a short distance. And it's messed up because the USPS option was like a dollar more. And that's why I decided. And I kind of knew. I'm like, FedEx doesn't really seem necessary in this situation. But I'm like, it's another dollar. The only thing that was cool about it is there was a possibility of rain that day that it was delivered. It ended up not raining, but the FedEx person still wrapped the box in a plastic bag to protect it when they left it on the doorstep.
Aww.
So I thought that was a nice little extra mile sort of a thing. But yeah, then moving right along. What am I moving along to? Oh yeah, so we're gonna loop it back around and get on topic. The last one was Rebeltech Starscream.
Yay! Hey.
And when I was tweeting these pictures out, one character a day, the one that got the least replies and reactions was Starscream. I only got a couple replies about it, where all the other figures got many more replies. Probably Gurren Lagann was probably the most replied. Kuro got a lot of replies, and oh damn, that sucks. The peg broke off in his foot. Here's all kinds of different things you could do to try to get it out. Thank you. But Starscream, nobody seemed to care. Starscream's awesome, though. I really like how all the stuff is attached to his back, like the intakes and the wings. It just looks cool. Like, kind of bigger and more curved on the intakes than you might imagine would be necessary, but it just looks cool. And the shininess of the red paint looks cool. And the sculpting on the Megatron pistol is cool. Like, everything's kind of a little more stylized than you would normally imagine, but all done in a very cool way. And he's just cool. Like, if you like Starscream, you should like this. It's cool. Doesn't transform, but that's cool. You can't have everything in life, you know. But awesome. Yeah, it's good. There's Rebeltech's awesome. I have three more coming.
This reminds me of when I bought my first Reveltech. Was I never ordered them online, and then I went to Japan in 07, and I found them like for cheap in person in Japan, so I bought two Getter ones for like $10 each, and that started this horrific train where I went to Japan with no Reveltechs and left with like 30 Reveltechs.
Yeah, well, the first ones I bought were at the 09 BotCon in Pasadena, kind of at the last minute. With those two cute girls that had the one table that were selling almost nothing but Reveltechs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I remember that. They said, God, it was just nothing. It was like walls of Revoltech figures.
Was that the table where I got the Pat Labors for like $30?
No, this one was the one that was in the far corner next to the shipping table.
Okay, okay.
They had like boxes of Froy lines everywhere.
I think you got like Black Ox or something from them for like $10.
Okay, okay. That
I know you got something real cheap from them.
Yeah.
And I got two from them, and they gave me a little keychain thing extra that I have no idea where the hell that is. Yeah, and then I didn't get any more Revoltech until that skeleton, the Jason the Argonaut skeleton, and then just went nuts.
Everything
got that skeleton and went bananas.
Everything went crazy.
Yeah, those first two that I got at BotCon, I got a couple Robotech ones. So I got Rick Hunter's Veritech and one of the Battle Pods, and those are pretty good. You know, for not being official Robotech products Harmony Gold, they're pretty good.
We got third party Transformer products. You can have third party Robotech products too. I mean, you know, just like with third party Transformers, sometimes those Asians make them even better than they do here in America.
Yeah, I was hoping that they would have had one of the Max Sterlings or but they didn't have it. They only had Rick Hunters, which isn't bad. I got the Rick Hunter one.
That's cool. That's cool. Was it from the Robotech TV show, or was it from Clash of the Bionoids?
No, I'm pretty sure it was the Robotech TV show. Okay. I don't even know what Clash of the Bionoids are.
Well, Clash of the Bionoids is kind of a knockoff Chinese movie they made that's kind of like Robotech.
No.
Yeah.
No. I'm not familiar with that at all.
That's all right. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay. Robotech's pretty good. You should watch that.
Oh, man. I grew up on Robotech. I know all about it.
Get the Revoltech
Protoculture flowers.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. Where's my Revoltech Protoculture flower? That's what I'm waiting for.
People really bag on the series with Max Sterling's daughter Dana Sterling, but you know, there's some good stuff in that. Like, all the Revoltech Master Men were kind of girly looking.
I think a lot of people kind of hot. A lot of people bag on those series because they haven't read the Jack McKinney novelizations, which expand a whole lot more on the backstory.
Yeah. They should read those. Mm. They're pretty good.
They should do Robotech Transformers crossovers.
I just really connected to that show when I was a kid because the Zentradi would be totally grossed out when they would see humans kissing. And when I was little, kissing really grossed me out too, so I really connected with that.
Yeah. Yak to culture.
Yeah. Well, you see, the Zentradi, they know girls have cooties. That's why all their women live on different spaceships, because they got cooties. And that's why they're so big, because cooties stunt your growth.
No, absolutely.
Humans would be gigantic if we didn't have cootie infestations everywhere we looked.
Oh, we're waiting for a brighter future. Yeah, a future without cooties.
Yeah, well, that's where that movie, that Steve Carell movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, falls down. Mm. Because if he was a 40-year-old virgin, that means
he'd be the size of
less cootie. Yeah, he'd be much taller. He'd be like Manute Bol tall.
Yeah, he'd be like the size of a Zentradi, I think.
Well, no, let's not get carried away. That wouldn't be realistic. But he definitely could have been in the NBA.
This is where the rumor should start. Steve Carell is going to play Britai in the upcoming live-action Robotech movie.
Okay.
Post it, you know, on your Robotech.com.
Are you sure he wouldn't be one of those three goofballs in Trotty that infiltrate the SDF-1?
That, you see, that would be typecasting. I would like to see Steve Carell as Britai. The big faceplate.
I think he's the kind of person that gets typecasted.
Perhaps he is, yes.
So I got some stuff this week.
I want to see Hugh Jackman as Britai.
Hey, Gog.
What's up?
You like Robotech?
I like Robotech.
What's Macross? That's the ship in Robotech. I don't know what you mean.
No, that was the first season of Robotech. It was called Macross.
Right.
Yeah, it was like Macross City. That they based the entire thing off of the name of a city. Ugh. So stupid.
That was the city inside the SDF-1 was Macross City.
Well, after it got teleported into space and they had to salvage it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, got some I got some on-topic stuff.
Oh!
If anyone's still interested.
Yes!
All right, we already talked about Wheeljack. I got a bunch of Power Core. For being somebody who's not really into Power Core, I picked up a lot of Power Core the last couple weeks.
I saw your tweets. I was very happy.
First one that I got were Grimstone and the Dinobots. I like these guys a lot more than I expected to. The Dinobots are neat. I mean, I don't know if they do anything particularly amazing compared to other Power Core, but Grimstone is a really cool commander. I wasn't really into him that much. I thought his vehicle, or his beast mode, rather, was a little eh, until I realized that his head crest can fold up into in his beast mode. Mm-hmm. I thought that was it's just kind of neat because it folds down like chest armor in his commander mode, but the I don't know, it's kind of neat. He's like, I can't remember the name of the dinosaur, and I haven't looked it up, so I'll feel dumb when I remember.
We know a paleontologist. We can ask him later.
Yeah, I'll ask my Welsh paleontologist friend. But they're like the Triceratops, but the ones that had the huge fanned crest. I can't remember what they're called.
I think it starts
with an S.
Yeah, I want to say Styracosaurus, but I know it's not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it starts with an S, but whatever. But yeah, his beast mode is kind of neat, and as a commander figure, I think he's really great as well because he has all sorts of little, like a thigh swivel and the way that you can move the shoulders around to give the arms some extra posability.
Mm-hmm.
The one dinosaur, the I just said it the other day, Dimetrodon.
Oh, yeah.
The Dimetrodon has an opening mouth, so he can be like Beast Wars Megatron and have a opening and closing dino head hand, which is really cool. In his head, like I can't think of him as anything other than Dino Pope, and I didn't think of that name. I got it from Quinn Jester, and I don't know if he made it up, but for full disclosure reasons. But yeah, he is. I cannot think of this as like. When I see this, I think of, okay, you had the original Dinobots. Those Dinobots were crazy. They weren't particularly intelligent, but Optimus Prime would send the Dinobots to fight Devastator. Like, these dudes were tough. And so they were like, well, what if we make new Dinobots and we turn them into a combiner? Like, that would be a crazy weapon for the Autobots to have, right? And I just see them as when they combine, instead of combining into the ultimate Autobot killing machine, through some sort of programming glitch, they become this benevolent shepherd on the field trying to save everyone's souls. And the Dinobots combine to form Dino Pope. I don't know. He's just very amusing looking to me. He does not look like a warrior. He looks like the Cardinal who you kiss his hand. He's cool though, but he's just got way more posability than, because the only other five pack that I got was Bombshell, and I wasn't particularly impressed with him. I was like, okay, I see what these are, but it's kind of a shame because when we talked about it, it might have been when we had D-Fuzz on right after BotCon, and we had kind of the big Power Core segment where we all got these for the first time, and we were talking about how I know at least I had said that I'd be interested in seeing what Power Core becomes later down the line when they really start perfecting it. And I don't know if they're there necessarily yet, but I do think that these newer molds are way better than the stuff that we got in the early waves now that they've Absolutely. Really started to be able to get a feel for all the design cues and the drones and everything. And it's kind of a shame because all signs kind of point to now that Power Core is starting to get kind of good and kind of interesting, it's going to end.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a shame, but, and I have not been into Power Core. I think it was Drew who kind of talked me down from my pedestal of this stuff sucks. What is Hasbro thinking to, you know, okay, Drew's right. This is for kids. It's not for me. But here in the later stuff, I've actually found some interest in some of this. And I think that some of these later figures are neat. And it's kind of a shame that now that I am having maybe a little bit of interest in this, that we're probably not going to get any more. But
at least we got
some good stuff towards the end.
Back in, I think, 136 or 138, when I got those two, like Dino Pope and the Constructicons, I was saying, I know it sucks that the line's over, but I was so glad that before the line ended, they hit a point where I could just say to anybody, look, I know you might have been put off by Bombshock or the Aerial Bots, but Dinobots or Constructicons, just pick up one of those 5-packs and you won't need another figure to enjoy those. Whereas every other Power Core figure and release before then, I was always saying, well, if you get the Destructicons 5-pack for the limbs, and then you get Sledge for the torso, it's awesome. But that was also saying, you have to buy two things. These are the first autonomous 5-packs, I think, that almost flawlessly stand on their own. Bombshock comes close, but he has all these little, he's one of the first ones, and all these little problems, especially that swindle leg, make it hard to say he stands as well on his own as these two. They're so well done.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm going to get the Constructicons or whatever the new ones. Yeah. Are they Constructicons or Destructicons?
Constructicons are the ones that ship with Dino Pope.
Okay. I heard from some people that they really like those, and I don't know if I need more than what I have.
The Constructicons, basically, they aren't as unified in color scheme, of course, and they're a bit wider shouldered, but I feel that the Constructicons and the Dinobots are on par with each other overall, as 5-packs. The Dinobots are a lot easier to sell somebody on, but the Constructicons, I thought, brought a lot to the table as well. I think that their central robot is a little bit better than Grimstone, and that really helps give them their own kind of angle. But,
And that's saying a lot, because I think Grimstone as a commander figure is really good.
He's great. The Constructicon one wins out a little bit more just in, I don't know, it's kind of like if you took Dirt Boss the forklift and made him into a commander figure. That's what it feels. It feels like Dirt Boss is like older brother or something. Like very similar aesthetic and color scheme.
Yeah. And I also got the 2-pack of Undertow and whatever his little dude is, Waterlog. Undertow is pretty awesome.
Oh,
I have
really?
To say. Yeah, awesome. I like him. I like him quite a bit. I his commander figure again is really good. One cool thing about his commander figure is the legs are really long. Like he has these really long legs, and depending on how you pose the upper thighs, I combined him with the dino limbs because they were the ones I had out. And he has very long legs that almost seem to emulate Movie Prime to a bit. Oh. Like they're just like stilts. And then I was like, well, maybe it's just the shape of his legs. So I put Dino Pope back together. And no, Dino Pope has really kind of just, they're only about an inch and a half long. Whereas Undertow's legs are maybe like closer to, let me see. Yeah, they're closer to, if you extend the legs all the way, they're closer to 3 inches. So his legs are literally like twice as long, not counting the drones.
That's really good to hear.
And it's just cool because you can really break up the size of them depending on the commander figure, and even then how you decide to pose the legs a bit. And his commander head is really awesome because it's basically a diver helmet.
I hadn't kept up with Undertow at all because I was dead focused on Heavy Tread from those final 2-packs. But I'm glad to hear that because all reports are that Heavy Tread and the helicopter that I always forget about are really solid toys as well. So I was hoping Undertow would just like Dino Pope and the Constructicons, kind of really finishing the 5-packs really well. If those three figures all turned out pretty well as, you know, as the end of the 2-packs, that would have been a great finisher.
Yeah.
I think.
And I don't have the other two at all. I got both of these from Hasbro Toy Shop and they shipped together, But I take that back. Who did I get? The Dinobots were supposed to ship with something else from Hasbro Toy Shop, but they ended up shipping separate. So I got the Dinobots by themselves, and I got Undertow with Spastic. We'll talk about him in a minute. Ew. But yeah, Undertow. Okay, he has these machine guns that are mounted on his forearms, and they can spin back, and they almost look like Tonfas, the way that he holds them. But this dude is armed to the teeth, and his boat mode is actually kind of really cool. I like it, and he's got basically dual posable Gatling guns, and then two sets of forward-facing machine guns. And his Minicon Waterlog, he might be one of the best Power Core Minicons. I can't remember, what was the name of the one that looked like a Target Master and utterly failed? Was that the one that came with Leadfoot? I think it was the one that came with Leadfoot.
Pinpoint?
Pinpoint, yeah. That's the one that came with Leadfoot, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Waterlog, he kind of feels more like a fully realized Target Master than I think any of the previous ones really have. He pulls off a really good gun mode. He actually has a pair of wings on either side, which looks actually kind of cool in the chest armor mode, because he has, you know, kind of like Star Saber. He still has the problem where it doesn't really sit flush. So if you look at it from the side, he kind of has this block plugged into his chest, sadly. But it kind of emulates Star Saber in the fact that he's got this little robot thing that plugs into his chest with the wings on either side. And I'm not trying to make a comparison between the two, but stylistically it's kind of similar. But the wings can fold in either direction. So when you make the Target Master mode, you can fold the wings up on the side, and it looks like the sides of a box of the gun. So it's really cool. I like it, and it looks cool on top of the boat mode, because this boat is freaking armed. This is like something driving up into the mouth of the beast in Vietnam and just going to shoot in every direction or something. I don't know, but yeah, I think Undertow is a really good figure. He's actually a really good standalone figure as well, and he's also a really good commander figure. So as far as commander 2-packs go, if you have any interest in the 5-packs, then you will benefit from him both as a really, really good commander figure with some extra posability, along with a very good standalone figure. So, and then, yeah, I also got the Stunticons, and I enjoyed pulling all the stickers off, and they came off really easy.
I thought you ripped the box at one point, so yes, did someone else too. In the video, and I was like, because, oh no! And then I saw it. Because
I switched the audio, but before I switched the audio, you can totally hear me go, oh no! I screamed it aloud, and then when I realized that it was just sticker residue left, I was like, oh yes. So, and I don't think I'm going to open it. I already have Leadfoot. I think Leadfoot's neat. This color scheme isn't even particularly different. This is just going to be my little piece of Transformers history, and then maybe 10 years from now, when I see the box, I'll be like, oh, I remember that guy. I remember that guy. So
I'm curious how many people are going to even remember that all happened in like 5 years. So I'm.
Oh, they will. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
I got to get a hold of at least one of that toy. But I mean, yeah. that they're all like, that's the one where I know I'm going to have to pay at least retail, if not more. Because he's tail end.
You can tell BBTS was aware of the situation because they bumped him up, and he's a repaint wave, and even the original figures didn't. He's a price higher than they are, but whatever. But Hasbro Toy Shop is offering him at retail, and I think as of this recording, they still have some. So, but yeah. And I've heard several people say that when they got theirs in the mail, the stickers were kind of already peeling off the box. So, yeah. Like we said before, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal in America.
Go check the video. YouTube.com/GogDog.
Yeah. So that's it for on topic stuff. Just very briefly, I got another PlayArts. Actually, I got two PlayArts Kai figures.
All right.
Right. With a third one that's sadly on the way but didn't make it yet. I got a Noble Six, the Spartan from Halo Reach. And I was only planning on getting Cat. Cat is actually in the mail because I always thought Cat was cool. Even I've never played Halo Reach. The only Halo game I've ever played is Halo 2. But I always thought Cat was cool because she had a robo arm. So she's a chick in battle armor with a robo arm, and I think that that's really cool. Cyborgs are cool. She's on the way. But my comic shop got a bunch of Noble Sixes in, and I had a credit from them, and plus I had gotten a pretty good tip that day, so I was like, why not? It's a PlayArts Kai figure. It only ended up costing me like $15. So, the Halo PlayArts Kai figures are really nice. They are really nice toys. if you have an interest in Halo, I would recommend at least picking your favorite Reach character if you're a Reach fan and grabbing one of these, because they are really cool. Every PlayArts figure that I've had it just never surprises me with the quality. These are a little shorter than I expected, but not much. I think they stand about a head shorter than the Snake that I have. So they're not eye to eye with Snake, but when you hold these in your hands, you're like, this is a big freaking action figure. But yeah, they're so good. I'd say about the only complaint is if you have them just standing in a neutral standing vertical pose, the thighs seem to be a little thick. But in any other position, if you put them in even like an A stance, any type of crouching, bending, walking, anything pose, it looks fine. It's just that in that initial kind of just standing neutral pose. But if when you have a Spartan and you're going to pose them on your shelf with weapons and stuff, you're not just going to have him standing at attention with the rifle on his back. So it's not going to be a problem for anybody. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting Kat. I was hoping that she'd be here by now, but I'll have her in time to talk about her on the next show. I also got a PlayArts Kai Basilisk, which was a mech from Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker.
I was wondering how those mechs turned out, because I know they're not really in the same style as their usual.
Yeah, they're not. They're made out of... This one is made out of a completely different plastic, because even the PlayArts... The only other PlayArts Kai mech that I have is the Zenith from Front Mission. And that's made of kind of really nice PVC, but still feels like PVC blocks. But it's still a great figure. This is made out of very hard, brittle plastic. It's completely different than anything I've seen in the PlayArts Kai figure so far. It's really cool. I think it's probably a little bit overpriced. It's definitely at a higher price point than any of the other PlayArts Kai figures that I have. But it has this neat transforming gimmick where all the legs kind of rotate around, and then the front legs fold up into basically just side boxes, and then the legs, the rear legs invert and become... it becomes a bipedal robot, kind of like Metal Gear Rex from Metal Gear Solid, the original. And that gimmick is really cool. Unfortunately, I think I can fix it, but one of the legs seems a little loose, so in the bipedal mode, I can get him in a sweet spot, but otherwise he kind of has trouble standing in the bipedal mode, which is kind of a shame because he looks really awesome. But even in the quadped mode, it still looks really cool. And he's got all sorts of little moving parts, and the little radar dome thing, sphere on the back can open up and rotate, and he's got little rotating guns and like the head, the unit thing, I think, because I've never actually played any of the PSP Metal Gear games, but I guess they have like these pop-up head weak point things, and those can do that and pop up and rotate around. So
shoot it in the weak point for damage.
Yeah, exactly. And they're even they're red. They're big and red and glowing, so... But it's cool, and I think once I fix the leg, and because it just needs to be able to have a little more pressure, I think probably some nail polish or something will fix it. But and he comes with a stand too, so all is not lost. But yeah, PlayArts still does not cease to impress me. I went ahead and got a White Glint D-style kit from Kotobukiya. He was actually number two. They're up to five or six now. And that was the only one that I was missing that's been released from the D-style kits, because I have all the Pat Labors. I got the Gunbuster, and then the Glint, which is a mecha from Armored Core, which I've never really been a big fan of Armored Core. I've never played it. But the robot design was cool, and I was like, well, it's the only one I'm missing so far, so I'll get it. And yeah, it's really cool. It's very ambitious. There's lots of parts moving and swapping for modes, because he has like these two large bars on either side of his robot that are basically the backside of them are just rocket engines. So apparently this mecha can extend out these giant arms on either side that are just lined with rockets for some sort of boost mode, I assume. but it has a secondary mode where the rocket doors fold up, and then it kind of bends in on itself and collapses, and so that they're kind of folded up on the back. So you can do a little bit of part swapping you can swap out the closed doors for the open doors with the rocket engines revealed, and then unplug the arms and plug them back in together in a different way to make them look extended. So it's pretty complicated. I still need to add some paint to that, but it's a really cool figure. And the only one that's been announced that isn't out yet is the Dan Kuga. And I guess I'm going to have to get it now because it's the only one that I'm missing. But yeah, D-Style, Kotobukiya kits, they're great. Everybody should try at least one. They're fairly inexpensive. Toss one in on an AMI order and,
well, stretching their reach too on licenses, so I'm pretty sure that by the end of the year, that if they continue doing them, they'll have probably done at least one that will entice somebody.
Yeah, and I hope they continue to get more licenses too. Like they've done an Armored Core, they've done a bunch of Pat Labors, they've done Gunbuster, now they're doing Dan Kuga. As far as I know, Dan Kuga is the only one that's been announced, but I know that they have some stuff. Apparently they are really branching out. Like they're going to do an offshoot, kind of like you always talk about how there's all these offshoots of SH Figure Arts. Well, they're going to apparently be doing offshoots with actual human characters, which is going to be neat, especially how the Mega Man figures have turned out. Now there's going to be like super deformed model kits of humanoids. So that's going to be interesting. I don't remember all the details, but I'm going to be looking into some of these, especially if they get some good licenses. But
yeah, awesome.
And finally, I got a Mighty Mug scroll that I tossed in on a BBTS order to pad it out. And it's cool. I've been on a scroll kick ever since I got Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And then I got some Gunbuster trading figures that I ordered from Yokata Shipping from a long time ago that I finally told the guy to go ahead and ship them to me. But they are really cool. They're the RX-7. Mechas, which are the ones you see in basically the first half of the OVA, all from the training in the beginning to them initially going out in space and doing some fighting. And as far as I know, these are some of the only figures of these that have ever been made. And it's kind of a shame because this design would just lend itself so well to some Reveltechs or something. And I think they're kind of simple, but at the same time, they're really kind of neat 80s robot design with big cylinder legs, and I just see these and I think a Gunbuster or a Reveltech of these to go along with Gunbuster would look really cool. But oh well, we'll probably never get them, so that's why I went ahead and got these. But and that's about it.
I just have two more things that I got. I got a pair of Figmas in the mail. The first Figma is of a guy I just linked who is called Kamen Rider Incisor in the American release of the show. In the Japanese one, he was Kamen Rider Scissors, the homicidal detective. He is a crab bug man. He's very crab-themed. He has big lobster claws. And these Figma Kamen Riders are interesting because they're a joint between Max Factory and Medicom. So they have, for Figmas, very... I think I've talked about the other two I got at some point, but... For Figmas, they just have so many weird qualities. Like they're fully accurate to these suit designs, which must come from Medicom. And then they've got like over the hip joints and over the torso joints, they have like rubber clothing to cover the joints, but the joints still totally work. And it's a really cool effect. And this guy is also, he's a crab man, and I think crabs are cool. So I think he's pretty neat. The shade of bronze on his armor is quite interesting. And then the other one I got was another Figma, another Medicom joint, called Kamen Rider Torque. He was called Zolda in the original series. In the original series, he was the super lawyer, an extremely tall Japanese man who's a lawyer, and he's awesome. And he refers to himself as a super lawyer. And his actor is one of the most bro tokusatsu actors. He's one of the guys who actually legitimately enjoyed his time in the show. And he's part of actually a singing group of other former Kamen Rider actors.
wait, what?
Yeah,
former Kamen Rider actors
four Kamen Rider actors who really enjoyed what they did and stayed in touch with the franchise also recently formed a singing group, I think last year, just because they can.
Wow, I don't know what to say. That's wow. But the Super Lawyer, what year was this series on?
This was from, this came out 2002, this series, I think.
Oh man, the Super Lawyer should have had the same voice actor as, actually, never mind. I don't think Phoenix Wright has had a voice actor.
Well, the guy who played Super Lawyer, I always forget the actor's name, but he's also a massive Gundam fan, and I think he got to voice act in one or two Gundam series. So, they could get him for Phoenix Wright. But so the toy's cool because this guy had a multitude of guns they could have given him, and of course they gave him, whenever a figure of this guy comes out, they always make sure to give him his ludicrously giant double-handed cannon. It's not quite as crazy as there's an SIC version that took that cannon and made it a giant revolver with an ammo chamber. So this isn't quite as crazy, but I am still liking it. Also, if you see in the pictures, these guys each come with a tiny-ass playing card, which is to scale to the figure, and it's like the smallest shred of plastic you can ever get with a toy. But I'm digging them. I think I'm going all in on this line. There's only 15 designs they can do. So I am really enjoying these guys a lot more than I expected to. And also,
You seem to be all in with the franchise.
I am. But these aren't fig arts. So I was kind of worried that they might not turn out all that well. But Max Factory did a great job. Like, I don't buy Figmas outside of Drossel. So, I thought I was done with Figma, and now I'm buying Figmas constantly to keep up with these Kamen Rider ones they're doing.
I thought I was done with Figma until they announced the Big O. They've shown Dorothy, and they announced on their blog that they're doing all the other main characters as Figma from Big O.
I think
that's kind of cool.
And they're doing the Max Gokin Big O, which is going to be insane.
Yeah, but that costs like $500, so...
That's because it's probably going to be made of like 50% solid zinc. Max Gokin is kind of like Max Factory decided to do Soul of Chogokin, but a little bit better. There's not many toys in that line, but man, you get a Max Gokin, you have a good time. But I only bought the first two of these Figma Riders. These are the third and fourth ones, and after I bought the first two, I decided, all right, I'm in, and I bought these two as well, because they turned out great. That's pretty much what I got this week, so we're going to finish up today with some listener questiones. Excuse me as I turn my microphone around. I'm going to read these questions to you now. Our first question comes to us from Soundmaster. Not just Sound Blaster, Sound Master. His first question is, would you like to see more asymmetrical designs in Transformers with drastic differences on each side? In short, yes, because I thought Transmetal 2s were awesome and I love asymmetry. But that's just me. Seth, how do you feel about asymmetry?
I think it's fine when it... I don't think it needs to be forced to happen. Yes, designers at Hasbro, make them more asymmetrical. And if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
And as long as it's to facilitate making it look awesome, then of course, get all asymmetrical up in that piece. As long as it looks awesome in the end and isn't Generations Galvatron.
Three fingers on one hand, two fingers on the other.
Yeah, one eye is big and googly.
Oh my god.
And the other one is mean.
Bakkon Wild Rider is asymmetrical. Gog, how do you feel about asymmetry?
I think asymmetry is great. The only problem that I have with asymmetry is sometimes they're like, well, what do we do with this huge chunk? Let's just make it his arm. Like, I've gotten the impression with some asymmetrical Transformers in the past that they don't know really where to put a part, and they can't really split it up because it has a huge gimmick in it. So, they're like, okay, well, let's just make that the limb, and we'll mold some hand detailing on the inside of it or something. As long as they don't do that, like, Rekgar, I think, is a good example of how asymmetry works. And, of course, that's also kind of an homage to the original, but it's still, like, yeah, asymmetry like that, where he still is completely functional on both sides, is great. But when they do it just to get rid of a giant block of gimmick that they don't know where to put, so I'm less excited there because it feels like they went asymmetrical because they had to instead of for styling reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think if from the design process, if they come up with really cool character designs, even before the toy is made that are asymmetrical, then yeah, I'm all for it. And I'm really having some hard time thinking of some examples, but whatever. That's what I meant.
My favorite asymmetrical Transformer is still Transmetal 2 Scourge, but I'm all alone in that one. He's the Locust. Nobody remembers him. Question number 2. What Beast Machines character do you want to see get a new toy? Seth.
Man. I didn't follow Beast Machines so much. I watched most of Beast Wars as it aired and kind of fell out during Beast Machines. Only saw a handful of episodes. And that was... Beast Machines was kind of coming to an end when I was first kind of getting into collecting again. So I had picked up some of the vehicle cons, but that was it. That's all that I ever had from Beast Machines. So I'm not really all that versed in the line or the characters, but I'm really going to blow it with the names. But, what was the motorcycle?
Thrust.
One? Thrust. Yeah, I have a basic size Thrust, but they called them something else back then, didn't they? What were they basic sizes?
Oh, it was just a motorcycle drone or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cycle drone.
Yeah, I didn't have the larger one. That figure is kind of cool. It does some good stuff. So if I have to pick one, I guess I pick motorcycle drone.
But not Thrust, only motorcycle drone.
Well, Thrust was kind of different. I mean, he was bigger.
His toy,
obviously, so he was kind of different.
His toy, Thrust's toy, was a deluxe that was designed before the show was done, and kind of sucks in some ways. It actually is not as bad as a lot of people say it is, but that basic motorcycle drone came out, I think, almost a year after the Thrust toy. And so it was designed much closer to the show.
And that's
a
pretty cool little figure, too.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I remember getting it and then seeing pictures of it next to the Thrust figure and thinking, this one seems better. I'll just stick with this one.
Yeah, yeah. Gog, what about you? Any Beast Machines characters you really want to see a new toy done for?
Thrust and Obsidian. Strika and Obsidian, I meant.
Mm.
I mean, everybody wants a Strika toy, so that's kind of a shoe-in anyway. So, but, yeah, I would like an Obsidian toy that was close to the animation model, because that is a cool freaking robot. And I don't think the original toy really did it justice, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of had a soft spot for the Strika and Obsidian toys as not those characters, but as different ones. I thought the toys were okay, but they totally didn't feel like the show characters to me at all. I totally dig that. I'd like to see two of the non-show characters get redone, because they were already well-designed toys back then. I'd love to see them get streamlined, made a bit bigger. These are two basics, Night Viper, and I want to say Hammerhead was his name. I might be wrong, but the Hammerhead Shark. They were both from Battle for the Allspark, so they were from the better end of the line, and they were two magnificent basics, and I think they could be updated to be even cooler. I'd have loved to see Generations Night Viper, but that's just me. So I hope that answered your question, Sound Master. We've also got some questions from Ringer149. I don't know if I like this. Ringers mess up the game. But he asks, how do you and your fellow podcasters go about clearing your collections, if at all? Thanks.
He said cleaning.
Cleaning your collections, if at all. Thanks. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay. Personally, I use a feather duster because I am a man. That generally is all I need to do. If anything's caked on even harder, it's my own fault, and then I just break out a J-cloth. If it's a toy without any stickers, I'll moisten the J-cloth. That's about it for me. Feather dusting can take you pretty far. Gog, what about you? How do you clean figures, if at all?
Same. I have a feather duster as well.
Yeah. Because really, if you feather dust all the time, that's all you need to do. In my case, I had some toys that I left on a shelf unattended for about a year. And when I came back to them, I had to break out a J-cloth to get some of the dust off, and that was very unfortunate. I hate dust. It's my least favorite thing, aside from a few other things. Seth, what about you? How do you clean figures, if you do it at all?
Yeah, I feel bad that I don't feather dust everything now, because I tend to be kind of bad about that. But when I do need to give them a cleanup, I'll usually get just like a lint-free hand towel. Give them a wipe down if that doesn't reach into the cracks and crevices, or if I'm like super dedicated to getting hardcore about it, then maybe I'll employ some Q-tips to get into the tighter reaches.
Hmm.
When I clear them, though, I like to use a large sweeping motion with my arm and just and like wipe the whole surface clear. It's very dramatic.
And then
except for it makes a huge mess, and I've broken several figures that way.
Were you training for a martial arts competition or something?
Do you then throw your arms up in the air and say, I've had it, and then walk out of the room after you do that?
No, it's like what before I bang my secretary. Wipe everything off, and I throw her down, and I ravage her.
That went somewhere interesting.
Unfortunately, I don't have a secretary, so that was a lie.
So, do you stick Q-tips in her ears?
That's part of the whole foreplay aspect. Like, yeah, clean them ears. Don't go in too deep, because you could rupture your eardrum.
And you won't be able to hear me.
Do it gently. Just clean the outer part of your ear. Then sweeping motion with my arm.
And you throw your secretary off the desk. Unless you mean you do that.
Onto the desk.
Oh, I thought you meant you sweeping motion with the arms after your secretary is on the desk. And I was like, why would that's... I was just fooling with you. Get off the desk.
That's how I answer a lot of life's challenges, just sweeping motion of my arm.
There's a crying baby on the plane. Sweeping motion with my arms.
The waitress brings the bill at the end of a meal. Sweeping motion of my arms.
The guy in front of Seth, in front of the bank teller, pulls out a gun and says, give me your money. Sweeping motion with my arm.
Knocks the gun far away. I'm the hero, and I'm in all of the newspapers.
It's very inspiring.
We're at BotCon. I'm like, gosh, my back itches and I can't reach it. Seth comes in with a sweeping motion from his arm. Oh, where would I be without you?
Seth needs to open a door.
Guy in the airplane seat ahead of me keeps moving his seat up and down, moving the tray table, over, sweeping motion. Just whack him across the top of his head.
Well, if you need to open a door, sweeping motion with your arms. And then people are like, why are you doing that?
No.
It's like, I don't know how to use a doorknob.
No, opening doors is a kicking motion with the leg.
As opposed to a kicking motion with the arm.
Well, you could do a sweeping motion with your leg.
That's true.
I'm just being specific.
Can you do a kicking motion with your hand?
You could sort of do like a swing up. Upswing.
That's an uppercut, I think.
Well, it depends on how you position your hand.
Mm.
Palm up. And then wrist tilted. So you make like a 90 degree angle. And then hand kick. Hand kicks.
I would do a tiger uppercut.
Tiger!
Because everyone says Shoryuken. So I do a tiger uppercut. Ringer 149 goes on to say, if it's not too much of a big deal, I just thought of a second question to go along with my first. Got to get the question in when I have the chance, in brackets. I was wondering if you guys could discuss some of the terminology Transformers collectors use, such as shell former and kibble.
That is kind of
round table
deal,
discussion actually. Go.
All right, guys, kibble. Seriously, why?
Why do they call it kibble?
Ever since,
or what is kibble?
Ever since I was a youngin Transformers fan, back before I even went to BotCons, I was listening to a new episode of Radio Free Cybertron, and they were talking about the kibble on Beast Wars Neo Big Convoy, and I think the 15th time I heard the word kibble, even as a youngin, I was kind of thinking to myself, it's a really dumb word.
Why? Dog food.
Yes. Kibble. It sounds like a word for like a big bucket of Lego blocks. And I know I'm sure it has some kind of CAD design root, much like Greeble, or one of those other silly words I don't like. But kibble.
What's interesting? I bet probably about the only thing I can add to this of any constructiveness. I remember somebody asked. I think it was BotCon 09. Somebody had asked on the Hasbro design panel if they used the terms that we do, and I can't remember if it was Aaron or Eric had said that. Well, yeah, I mean they all read the boards. While they don't obviously post as Hasbro employees, they still are involved in the fandom, and the majority of them do use the same terminology we do as far as things like kibble and.
Mm-hmm.
The word kibble was actually the example term given, and Eric was like, "Yeah, we call it kibble." So I don't know if that adds anything particularly meaningful, but
well, I mean, it was a cool anecdote to know. I'd forgotten about that till you brought it up. I remember now. That's and I don't know why. It's just the word kibble really bugs me. Kind of, it's like doesn't bug me as hardcore as the term chug bugs me. Or Greeble, but kibble's
well,
up
no,
there.
Chug has been replaced. It's now yogurts.
Oh.
Well, looking at the free online dictionary, kibble is defined as an iron bucket used in wells or mines for hoisting water or refuse to the surface. So it, I mean, I don't know what the question is. I mean, that explains everything.
Obviously. I have a
explained.
I use a kibble to move my refuse out of my room all the time. I don't need a washroom. Washrooms are an invention of society that wants to limit us.
Well, it's probably. I mean, it's one of those things you're never going to figure out. It's like it's like somebody started saying it, and then somebody else repeated them, and then it spread like a disease across the world. Kind of like a joke. how like the diarrhea song, like that was never published, but every school kid in the free world knows it. How did that spread? Who wrote? Who was the first one that was started singing when you're sliding into first and your pants begin to burst diarrhea? Who is the songwriter that came up with that? I don't think it was Lennon and McCartney. I'm pretty sure it probably wasn't them.
Well, wasn't it kind of a similar thing with the whole term for the Seekers? I mean, that was never that never became an officially used term until it was widespread in the fan community, right? Does anybody even know where that term originally came from?
I think it's argued about where it came from, because didn't it show up in an old catalog? Isn't that where it came from? Like an old toy catalog from some kind of like Consumers Distributing, but not like one of those kind of stores? I'm sure that this has all been written down somewhere. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head right now.
Well, he wanted us to discuss it, so we're all just going to throw out random crap and make it sound like we're having a meaningful discussion.
Well, I was gonna bring up, because he mentioned shell former, and I thought shell former, like things like shell former or parts former, are to me far more logical than terms like kibble, because it's like it's a transformer, but if it's a shell former, it's a transformer where the majority of the transformation is a shell that breaks open to reveal a robot inside, and a parts
like
former,
a Kinder Egg.
Yes, which are banned in the United States of America, and a parts former is a transformer who turns into parts to do what he does. And that's why when you say it's parts forming, it broke into parts to do the transformation rather than staying in one piece. And staying in one piece, now that's a term where I often find myself using the Studio Hi-Fi term for that, which is perfect transformation. And then I'd swear that I saw perfect transformation being used as a term in Bandai of Japan design documents. So, who knows? I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know either.
There was another term for Greebles that Aaron found that was even worse, and I can't remember what it was. I'm gonna look it
up. Don't think I've heard anyone say Greebles until just now.
Really? Oh, I brought it up in an odd an even episode when it's a term that people use to describe like the sculpting detail, for instance, on what would otherwise be a smooth surface.
That's ridiculous. It's detail.
Oh, here it is. I just looked it up. Yeah, it's an actual word. A greeble is a small piece of detailing added to break up the surface of an object to add visual interest to the surface or object, particularly in movie special effects. So, it's called a greeble, but it's also called a nerny. And I hate both those words.
Well, I'm going with nerny.
Apparently, the etymology... Yeah,
I mean, if we have to choose, nah, I'm taking sides.
I think nerny's worse than greeble. Myself.
I think you're worse than Greeble.
You're a Greeble.
Your mom's a Greeble.
Yeah, well, at least my mom's not a nerny. I nernied your mom, like, into a Greeble. Etymology. The earliest recorded use of the term Greeble found to date was by those working on the special effects for Star Wars, the group who would later go on to become ILM. They also described
this
design method...
Well, they were all hippies. Well, they were all... smoking marijuana cigarettes.
They also described this design method as, quote, guts on the outside. Ron Thornton is widely believed to have coined the term nernies, referring to CGI technical detail that his company Foundation Imaging produced for the Babylon 5 series. Damn it, nerny has a cooler root, because Babylon 5 is better than Star Wars.
Boom.
They were probably, you know, the Star Wars guys were probably building the surface of the Death Star, and like, man, it's way too flat. I'm gonna take this plastic model kit of an aircraft carrier, and I'm gonna take this little piece of superstructure, and I'm gonna glue it right there in the middle. Like, what's that, man? That's a greeble, man. What's a greeble? It breaks up the surface. It's flat. It was hella flat. Then I got high.
Greeble sounds kind of like Greedo. Anyway.
Your mom sounds like Greedo.
Greedo doesn't sound like anybody's mom, because he's an alien who speaks alien Asian languages.
I fed your mom some kibble.
Guato, Guadu, Han Solo. I don't think there, you want to do
there
that.
There was Greedo. A lady. There was a lady in that costume. So
Greedo was a lady. Bako tattoo chiba chinga. Hope that answers your question, Ringer 149. And that's pretty much the end of the show, because I didn't really see any spoiler news that we weren't going to cover in a prime time that felt like it was big, unless I missed something. Did either of you guys have anything you really wanted to cover spoiler wise?
No.
Yeah, I mean, the only.
No, I just feel like people who use words like Greeble, who had that they're not in any sort of line of work or business that requires even knowing that phrase. They just heard it somewhere and then they want to seem like they're in on a thing and clever about it. And so they start using it. There's other examples that could be used, but I've been up since very early and it's starting to get late. And I'm tired. But,
yeah, I'm starving because I haven't really eaten since lunch.
I'm gonna. It's kind of like wrestling fans.
Oh yeah, smarks.
Like
left or left, right, face heel, left, right.
You know those wrestling dorks using complicated terminology like left
and right
and right. Up, down.
They call the ropes the ropes.
You know those losers that watch Sesame Street and they're like big, small.
They tell me there's a thing called an alphabet.
Yeah, it's just trying to people trying to be more clever than they are. Stop trying to be clever. Know your role and shut your hole. How's that for wrestling references? Eat it.
Know your role and shut your mouth, actually.
Eat it with a spoon.
Shut your mouth. Hole.
Shut your mouth.
Rudy shut your mouth with a Greeble. I'll put Greebles in your mouth. I think the show needs to end. So thank you for listening.
It probably should.
Everybody, and we'll be back again with some more What If at Tuffo. Gog and Seth, thank you for coming by.
Are you going to say the phone number?
Oh, right. Thank you for reminding me. Excuse me, I got to adjust my microphone.
Use the numbers this time. Use the letters last time.
Yeah, letters are stupid.
I happen to like the letters. So if you'd like to leave a question on our WTF hotline, which is a Google voicemail hotline, you can leave questions. The number is area code in brackets 318 and then 775-9830. That's area codes 318 and then after the brackets 775-9830. That's area code 318. 775 WTF zero like the Lord intended.
He's just crapping all over you, Seth.
Well, I think he added too many letters.
Well, he changed it every time. And he's calling parentheses brackets for some reason. He did that in the listener question as well. Very, very strange.
I actually wasn't paying attention because I was reading.
Can't help it if
the chat. The chat window.
I can't help it if I'm ethnic. Okay. So please call that number.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of voicemails, and we're going to be doing something with it soon. So hopefully, once we do something, hopefully once we do something with it, and people get the feel for what's going on, we will get even more.
Yes,
we're going to be doing something with it, like going in and just deleting them all.
We're gonna put Greebles all over everything.
All over their nurnals.
Nurnals?
It's like a purple nurple.
It's nerdy. No,
I started. Yeah,
don't portmanteau nerdies and greebles. That's crossing streams, man.
I forgot what the nerdies were called. And I already committed to the end sound. So I tried to shift it into Nermal from Garfield. And that made me laugh.
Well, we'll see you all later. Bye-bye.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.